WBR, New York. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Talk Radio 77. WABC.
Just when I believed I couldn't ever want for more, this ever-changing world pushes me through another door. I saw you smile, and my mind could not erase the beauty of your face.
So I'm having my bowl of Frosted Flakes, which I have every morning at about 5:45, because I got to eat three times every morning. Bernie eats once, has his cereal, his nuts, whatever he does every day. He's really a creature of habit. And I got to eat like three times. I get McDonald's, protein bars, M&Ms, but I start with a bowl of Frosted Flakes, and I get this really little, I mean little, piece of Frosted Flake stuck in my throat. And I can't breathe, and I start to choke, and my eyes start to tear. If you're watching us right now on WABCRadio.com, that is not a tan. I nearly choked to death this morning. I swear to God, my blood pressure has to be like 240 over 30. So I get this little piece of Frosted Flakes stuck in my throat, and I'm stumbling down the hallway,
bro,
begging for air, looking for help. Bernie is reading the newspaper. He couldn't care less.
Listen,
God.
No, if I knew, I would have helped you. I didn't realize how serious it was.
I was dying.
But you, generally speaking, you strut up and down the hall acting very erratically, to put it kindly. I'm not going to go the tarred route,
okay,
but you do that every day.
Yeah.
So I thought it was just business as usual. And I'm like, Sidney!
Nothing.
And you were dying.
Dying.
I didn't realize it.
Literally
sorry,
dying.
Sorry.
Meanie didn't care. The other kid, Matt, didn't care. And I'm telling you, I'm doubled over. Yes, there I am. That's me. I sound Asian, but it's me. The drool was coming out of my mouth, and like blood starts coming out, all kinds of stuff. And these guys, Bernie's like, hey, did you get that Nancy Pelosi cut? Meantime, your co-host is half dead.
I don't think so.
I almost died.
So I understand.
Yeah, well,
now we know what happened.
And there's still like nothing.
Hey, listen, eat like a freaking human.
Is that what it is?
Shoveling it down your
mouth. Well, you're right about that. I took it was a very,
like
very big spoonful. I know. Yeah. Well, I have a lot of time, Bernie.
No, stop. You have time. just pour it 2 minutes earlier and eat it 2 minutes, and you'd be good.
And if I would have died, it would have been very upsetting, I should say, because I'm about to get my $100. I'm going to get vaccinated 15 times. I need $1,500. So I figure if I go $100 a pop, 15 times, there's my $1,500. I have to go to a city place, of course, but I think I'm going to do it this week. What do you think about that?
That's a good idea. Listen,
yeah.
Two vaccines, three vaccines. The more vaccines you get, the more immune you are.
Is that really true?
Plus, you'll make a lot more money.
Right,
you'll make a lot of money.
The key is making the money. But on a serious note, can you go back and forth? They don't check, I guess, right?
I'm sure they don't.
They don't,
I'm sure you could if you wanted
to. Like, I knew
guys
that gave blood every single day because they got $40. That's how they got their weed for the day.
That would be a good question for Dr. Nicole Sapphire.
Right.
What happens if you got A, the Pfizer, B, the Moderna, and throw in the Johnson & Johnson?
Throw it all.
Get them all.
AstraZeneca. Find that on the streets.
Does that hurt you, or does it actually increase your immunity?
Let me text Mark Siegel right now, because he had Nicole on yesterday. But on a serious note, Bill de Blasio and the city offering folks $100 if they get vaccinated at a city center. So on one hand, I love the fact that they're trying to get people to go get the vaccines. But on the other hand, it seems like it doesn't matter anymore, because even vaccinated people like me are being told you have to wear a mask. You can still get sick. We are not out of the woods. COVID is coming back. What is the real message?
The message is very confusing, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, obviously, the answer is the numbers don't. There's no science that backs it up. The numbers are very minimal, especially hospitalizations and deaths. Cases are up, but they're mild, especially if you're vaccinated, which are very rare, very rare, very rare. But and they haven't no mask mandates in the city. Cuomo yesterday or de Blasio, they ignored the guidelines. I mean, they're going to make kids and teachers wear them.
Right.
But for the most part, nothing has changed in 2 days. You got the this wishy-washy Walensky lady making her claims on conference calls, afraid to face cameras, but nobody's paying attention. They have no credibility.
Well, you say that.
Absolutely no credibility.
Well, you say that, but just yesterday, based upon what the CDC said, and I don't care because I used to go there 3 or 4 times a year. I got tired of it very, very quickly. But if you go to Disney World, for example, you're back to wearing masks indoors, so people do care. And Twitter, that moron Jack Dorsey, shut down their New York and San Francisco offices yesterday based upon the latest CDC recommendations and the Delta variant surge. So people do care, and things are changing slowly, but they're going to start to change dramatically if this continues.
Yeah, Twitter just opened up 2 weeks ago. And
they shut it down.
Well, yeah, the most, I mean, if any company was to, any company virtue signals more than Twitter, somebody let me know.
No, you're right about that with Dorsey, but the point is there are people that are going to listen. They do care.
And
we're going to start to see some stuff shut down, which is going to affect guys like you and I.
Well,
these are stupid people.
Also, there is, I heard a doctor say yesterday, the UK is about 3 weeks ahead of us on this, and
Sapphire told us that
with the Delta,
yesterday.
The Delta variant, and they're going down. So we're right, almost around the corner.
All right, we got 4 great guests today. This is going to be a phenomenal show. A couple of Fox superstars, Jesse Waters and Bill O'Reilly, going to stop by today. Huge show, modeling show in the city, right by this office later on tonight. We got models live in studio, which is going to be great for the stream, coming up at 9:25 this morning. And one of your favorites out of Nassau County, Laura Curran, is going to stop by today.
Yes, she is.
That's cool.
Listen, she's a Democrat, but she is a she's done a great job during the pandemic, and overall, she's there. She's a reassuring voice, and I like her a lot. I know I had Congressman King in the other day. He said he's supporting her opponent in November, and I'm in a quandary right now.
Tough call.
Tough.
4 great guests. 1-800-848-WABC. As always, that's the number. 1-800-848-9222. Going to be a great Thursday show. We're happy you're here. 38 special. So caught up in you, little girl. When they say little girl, it sounds kind of creepy. I got to be honest with you. But anyway, I am caught up in you at 6:44 on your Thursday morning. And again, what a show we've got today from Laura Curran to Bill O'Reilly, to Stefania. There's a huge show right around the corner from here tonight. A bunch of models from Milan, Paris, London, all going to be at this place around the corner tonight, and they're going to come and promote that. And then, of course, our other guest today is claiming that somehow or another he has saved the world. Now, I like this guy a lot, even though a lot of my friends think he's kind of douchey and kind of arrogant, but I like him. And I think he's very good on television. In fact, I think on the 5 at 5 o'clock, I think he's the best that they've got. Jesse Waters, Bernie's old buddy, is claiming that his book at least says that he saved the world. How has he done that? I'm curious.
Well, he'll explain. But his book, by the way, was a number one bestseller.
Was it really?
It really made the number one slot. And you know who kicked him off?
Bill O'Reilly.
Mark Levin.
Mark Levin kicked him off the book list.
American Marxism, but he did make.
Oh, his book
one.
Has been out that long.
Well, yeah, he'll tell us. You know, he timed it to put. The publishers do that. A slow moment when books are being debuted, they know, so they timed it so that it could make the number one slot, because Mark Levin is not only number one. You put the following 15 books behind him. Combined,
wow.
Don't overcome Mark Levin's sales. So
I'm glad you're telling me
all
this.
It's a blockbuster.
If my guy Anthony Zaccardi at Post Hill Press and Ian Kleinert over at the Scaramucci's place, if you're listening right now, you better make sure that next Father's Day, Mark Levin or Bill O'Reilly
Wake
or
up.
Hannity, any one of these guys don't release books, or we're going to get clobbered. You got to make sure, like Bernie said, we got to check the rest of the book schedule.
They will. I mean, they're savvy like that, no doubt about it. But yes, how I said, I don't have a copy. We didn't get a copy of it. I should have ordered it and bought it myself. I didn't. He is a great guy. He's great on the 5, and he started out as a producer, a low level producer at O'Reilly. First, a lower level spot than that at Fox News, and he used to book me on O'Reilly. And then now he's got his own show, and he's on the 5. I've been on his show many times on Saturdays, Waters World. So yeah, the kid is sharp, and he says he has the most punchable face. That a lot of people think he has the most punchable face in the country. So he acknowledges that a lot of people think he's, as you point out, whatever you said,
douchey. He did a nice job with the people on the street stuff, which I'm going to blow smoke up your butt too. You were exceptional at that, but he was pretty good with that too for Bill O'Reilly.
He was great. I mean, that was his whole thing. This is my world, Water's world, but. Yeah, he's also very smart. Remember the other day, I even played the clips of him. He laid out what the Texas voting integrity law said, and then he asked his Democrat colleague on the Five, what do you find objectionable in this list of what I just said? And the Harold Ford could not come up with
nothing. By the way, Robin Hood, who made big news a couple of months ago with that whole GameStop thing. I know your kids have been involved with Robin Hood for a long time. They are set to go public. I think it's today. So we'll get news on that. I'm watching it on Squawk Box as we speak.
You're a shiny object kind of guy. There it is. There's the graphic on Squawk Box.
There you go. They're talking about it right now. Robin Hood set to go public. Squawk Box on CNBC.
Let me say that it's going to be foggy this morning in New York because I'm watching Sam Champion on another monitor. He's talking to Robin Roberts.
Yes, he is.
And there we go. We have competing shiny objects.
And vaccine mandate. Biden expected to announce mandate for federal workers. That's on Mark Siegel, Fox News, right now.
Not a joke.
Not a joke.
The shirt today, as you listen to Sting, Fields of Gold. This is a great song. Shirt and jacket today, compliments of Joseph Aboud, who's no longer in the business, and his jackets don't fit me much anymore because I'm getting too big. Bernie's shirt, compliments of, I don't know. Where'd you get that shirt?
I got it through Amazon.
Amazon.
It's your average Henley.
I love that. I like that shirt, though.
Summertime Henley shirt.
That's a good-looking shirt. And a New York Met hat, of course. The first-place New York Mets.
Damn right.
Mets got a big win last night. We'll get to that later. And the Yankees picking up a guy that has had not one but two 40-plus home run seasons and already has 25 home runs this year for the Texas Rangers, 27-year-old left-handed power hitter Joey Gallo on the way to the Bronx. We'll have all of that coming up later along with our four great guests. But as we get back to the news of the day, the mayor race in New York City is always big news. Again, at the risk of repetition, Bernie and Sid are full throttle, 1,000%, overly enthusiastic, endorsing Curtis Sliwa. But we're not stupid. We realize that it's going to be a very difficult battle, if not impossible, and that Eric Adams, in all likelihood, is going to win and be the next mayor. So anytime Eric Adams makes the news, we got to bring him up.
Well, of course, we talked about it yesterday. He said he was in front of an audience in Douglaston, Queens, but I think unbeknownst to him, he was being taped. So he said some things that, yesterday he walked back, and what he said, though, here is the clip of what he said.
My battle is not Eric Sliwa. No, I'm no longer running against candidates. I'm running against a movement all across the country. The DSA socialists are mobilizing to stop Eric Adams. They realize that if I'm successful, we're going to start the process of regaining control of our city.
So they summoned him to D.C., and Congresswoman Lydia Velasquez, she sat him down and she said, "Listen, you don't do that. This is true. I swear to God, we present a united front. Do not attack people like the squad, AOC." And he said, "I didn't mention her by name." He said, "It doesn't matter."
Well, he did the other day.
Great.
He did the other day.
There you go.
Well, so he got scolded by Vasquez?
He got scolded.
This is ridiculous.
And he said, this is what he said. He acknowledged that it gave the appearance that there was a personal attack on Ocasio-Cortez, but her name was never mentioned by me. He got very defensive. This is in a closed-door meeting with Lydia Velasquez. Eric Adams, again, he didn't realize he's talking to a nice upper class white audience in Douglaston, Queens right there.
Yeah.
And I guess he didn't think it was going to be taped.
Out of the box.
And it got out there and he was sat down and reprimanded and he backtracked, believe it or not.
Oh, son of a bitch.
I've never seen anybody, well, maybe I have. I just don't pay that much attention like I have the last 5 or 6 years. But I don't remember somebody that really went out of their way. Even during a political race, we try to impress everybody who won votes, who really went out of their way to make everybody happy. I don't remember the last time I've seen somebody like this, like Eric.
A lot of Democrats do that. Bill Clinton used to do that.
He did?
Try to throw bones to everybody. If you try to please everyone, you actually end up pleasing nobody. The belief, that's the bottom line. But he did say that he's running against the philosophy. He did stick with that. I'm not running against a member of Congress. I'm running against philosophies, is what he said. So he kind of stuck his ground a little bit as he backtracked. Speaking of AOC, we were talking about the January 6th hearing the other day. She gave an interview yesterday, this weirdo, this you talk about, Megyn Kelly called Rachel Walensky, the CDC director, an hysteric, quote unquote, an hysteric. That's what AOC is, an hysteric.
I don't think so.
That is a perfect description for her. Yeah. But anyway, this is what she said about, now she's adding on to the January 6th drama. Listen to her.
That attack on the Capitol. You know, white supremacy and patriarchy are very linked in a lot of ways. There's a lot of sexualizing of that violence. And I didn't think that I was just going to be killed. I thought other things were going to happen to me as
Listen,
so what sounds like what you're telling me right now is that you didn't only think that you were going to die. You thought you were going to be raped.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Jeez, I mean.
You believe this? And by the way, she wasn't even there.
Not only that, but rape is a serious crime, you moron AOC. What you should do is go down to shelters and speak to women that have actually been raped, how horrible, life-changing, and gross it is. And to just kind of throw it out there like, oh, I was about to be raped, as if it's not that big a deal, really goes to show you what a piece of garbage AOC is. Do not make light of rape.
And just one more thing on this January 6th hearing, the Capitol Hill. And by the way, they're toy cops, these Capitol Hill cops. Somebody said they're the glorified museum guards is what they are. And this guy he's fatter than Jerry Nadler. He doesn't look that like he could chase down Nancy Pelosi, by the way.
It was like my late grandfather, Maya Rosenberg, my dad's dad, who, believe it or not, was a security guard at the gate when people pulled into Kings Point in Delray Beach. He didn't even have a badge. He actually took out a box of Salem cigarettes, showed it to folks, and they thought that was his badge. Like, what was my grandpa Meyer going to do?
Well,
seriously.
That's these Capitol Hill. They're essentially toy cops. Anyway, he's called President Trump a hitman, but listen to what he tweeted last summer in the middle of the George Floyd riots. Why is murder an appropriate response to property damage, but property damage isn't an appropriate response to murder? Right? So he's justifying the deadly riots, the destruction. And this is a guy who testified the other day. He wasn't very bright. He was reading Nancy Pelosi's script. Not very well. He's not only fat, he's stupid. He's a fat, stupid toy cop.
Hey, you remember what Stephen first said, the character Flounder in the great movie Animal House. Fat, drunk, and stupid. There's no way to go.
And that's this guy.
That's him.
Well, the hitman. Shut up. Go peacefully and protest in front of the Capitol. That's what the guy said.
Frank Morano checks in. He says her name is Nydia Velasquez, not Lydia Velasquez.
Oh, Frank, please. I mean, I'm begging you. Jeez.
Who cares?
God. I love Frank.
Well, he's mad that you beat him and beat Bernie, so. Now he feels the need to correct us.
I mean, that is really nitpicking. And I do love Frank. He's going to get a rematch.
Robinhood's IPO price, just in case you're interested, $38 a share. Mark Tepper, who of course owns the Carolina Panthers, his wife, a good friend of Dolores, is on Fox Business as we speak. Robinhood IPO looking at $38 a share. Anyway, it is 7:07 on your Thursday morning, and we've got a run of great guests stopping by this program today. From Nassau County Exec Laura Curran, she'll be up next. To Fox News star Jesse Waters coming up at 7:40. To the great Bill O'Reilly coming up at 8:40. But I do want you folks to go to WABCradio.com right now. Two things. First of all, check out our live stream. You can watch me and Bernie right now and every morning as if we were on Fox Business or Fox News or Newsmax, a real TV show. Gabby Lopez, Chad's daughter, doing an amazing job manning the controls. All the graphics look great. Check us out right now, WABCradio.com. Also, while you're there, register for a chance to win a WABC Barry House coffee mug. Barry House Coffee, proud to be the official coffee of us. We are Bernie and Sid in the morning here on Talk Radio 77 WABC. Register now and good luck. So, what we've got yesterday is the governor here in New York, very, very powerful official. The president of the United States, Joe Biden, very, very powerful official. Both talking about mask mandates for government workers, A, here in New York, and B, federal workers in D.C. Both guys now talking about mask mandates for the workers.
Let me put my mic on here. Yeah, federal workers, I think they give them the option, though, of taking a test once a week, the unvaxxed people. I don't know if they're going to mandate masks for the workers who are vaccinated indoors. I don't know. I don't know where they stand on that. I know it's contentious in Congress right now.
Well, the House went back to wearing masks indoors on Monday.
As a matter of fact, Pelosi, Kevin McCarthy, he's the leader of the Republicans, the minority in the House, and he was complaining about that, and Nancy Pelosi ended up calling him a moron. and the audio isn't great if we'd play it, but she did, and it's you know, you can figure it out on tape, you can hear it, it's not worth playing. She called him a moron, and he fired back. He said this: if she's so brilliant, can she explain to me where the science in the building changes between the House and the Senate? That's what he said. That was his tough comeback, but at least he was kind of civil. What happened to – wasn't Biden supposed to bring back civility?
Well, he did at one point. Didn't he say that he's going to like start to fire people if they got nasty? I don't know. I forgot what he said.
Not only that, he said he also just the other day, he said people who are not vaccinated, they're not very smart people. I mean, that's not necessarily calling them stupid, but it is in a way. Either way, he has said other things about people. Civility has not come back. People still hate each other's guts as much as ever.
Oh, no doubt.
I mean, throwing around the terms like racism and Jim Crow, that is not civility. I'm sorry.
No.
Unwarranted allegations like that.
The two words that he has used, which he has not come close to achieving, civility and unity. Those two words he uses quite a bit, and we are nowhere near either one of those.
No, and to your point, I think we have what he said back in January. This was on Inauguration Day. Listen,
I remember.
Here it goes.
But I'm not joking when I say this.
Not joking.
If you're ever working with me and I hear you treat another colleague with disrespect, talk down to someone, I promise you I will fire you on the spot.
Not a joke.
On the spot. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Yeah.
Everybody. He's entitled to be treated with decency and dignity.
Let me tell you something. I actually remember exactly where he was because I brought this up. I don't know you're going to play that. He was in some office or room, and there was a board, right? And on the board were like all the workers, and they were live on like a Zoom. There must have been 1,000 of them, and he was speaking to all of them about what he just said. I remember the exact moment
right.
He said it.
Yeah, listen, speaking of shiny objects, I thought that was Jeffrey Toobin on TV.
We've done that before, you and I.
He looks just like him, right?
Just like him.
Yeah, sorry.
Except this guy's got his pants on.
Never mind.
Not a joke.
Not a joke. All right, so speaking of the mask mandates in Congress, this guy, Byron Donalds, he got into it. He's not vaccinated. He wasn't wearing a mask. And somebody, another Democrat congressman got in his face. This guy is a rising superstar in the Republican Party, Byron Donalds from Florida. This is what he said yesterday about that encounter. Listen.
He was going through one of the metal detectors, which, by the way, is still a dumb thing to have in front of the House floor. But that's another story for another day. He was going through the metal detectors, turned around, saw me, and was basically like, you're being selfish for not being vaccinated. That's why we're all having to wear a mask. Stop being selfish. And I looked at him like, mind your business. Why are you worried about what I'm doing? Worry about yourself. You've been vaccinated. Congratulations. Take care of yourself. Leave me alone. Mind your business. Why are you worried about what I am doing?
I mean, it sums up the whole debate, to mask or not to mask, right there with the vaccination in play. You're vaccinated. Why are you worried about what I'm doing? You're okay. You're good to go. Why should I just leave me the hell alone?
Well, we are seeing, you know, I just mentioned Mark Tepper, for example, the owner of the Panthers, who's on Fox Business all morning with our old friend there from Fox News. And talking about Robinhood, 38 bucks an IPO share. Anyway, he got vaccinated and he got COVID afterwards. So did Bill Maher. So did more and more people are starting to get sick even after getting vaccinated. So it's not like you and I can step up and say, hey, you're vaccinated, you're good to go, because we are seeing cases of people who got sick after the vaccinations.
There are breakthrough cases, as they call them, but the percentage is minuscule.
I know, I understand.
Minuscule.
I understand.
So, I mean, listen, let's reduce the speed limit on the thruway to 15 miles per hour. You want to reduce risk and deaths? Let's do that. No, you can't. You cannot do that. Hey, look.
But it seems like they've run the whole operation since Trump left based on minimal numbers. That's what they've done. They've never gone with the science. They've never gone with the majority. It seems like if they get two or it's kind of like at the radio station. You and I say something, and Dave Labrosi gets three emails from three angry old ladies on the Upper West Side, and they want to change everything. Well, you can't do that anymore because Bethel up in 83rd and Central Park West got angry. And you don't change the rules because two or three people get angry. That's what they're doing here.
Oh, no doubt about it. Listen, Sleepy Joe, the imbecile in chief, he had another tough day yesterday. He was in Pennsylvania, and he just kept getting everything wrong. Listen to him right here. He's talking about he had a Rick Perry moment. He had three. I got three things here, and he only lists two. Listen.
Said I was running for three reasons. One, to restore the soul of this country, right. A sense of decency, okay, and honor. But secondly, to rebuild the backbone of the country. Mm-hmm. Hard-working, middle-class folks who built, yeah, this country.
And thirdly?
I want to point out, unions built the middle class.
And thirdly?
He never got, Not a joke.
Got to thirdly. Then, of course, he was talking about the recession when President Obama was there. And, he said this.
Back in 2009... during the so-called Great Recession, the president asked me to be in charge of managing that piece, then President Trump. Excuse me, Freudian slip. That was the last president. He caused, anyway, that was President Obama when I was vice president.
All right, that's maybe everybody can do that. But he also did that. This is the whopper of the day. This is consistent with I graduated first in my class at Harvard. And a million other lies. But anyway, listen to this.
I used to drive an 18-wheeler, man.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish.
Oh, yeah?
That's awesome. I got to.
He was talking to a truck driver. I used to drive an 18-wheeler. Well, people checked it out. He never, ever drove an 18-wheeler. Never. He was never a professor at a college.
This is not a joke.
All kinds of lies. And we played the clips from him back in the day with the plagiarizing and the making stuff up. And speaking of which, our friend Chuck Todd, he actually pulled a Lester Holt yesterday when he made this comment. Take a listen.
Where we did get lost in this, and this sort of happened to mainstream media in particular, is that we did let Republican critics get in our heads. What? The Republicans have been running on, there's a liberal bias in the media. We shouldn't have accepted the premise that there was liberal bias.
No liberal bias in the media?
Is he kidding, Chuck?
Come on, Chuck.
Chuck, I love you, but
come on,
buddy.
Chuck.
Come on, Chuck.
And then Mike Barnicle on Morning Stooge, our friend Mike Barnicle. I used to be so tight with Mike Barnicle. You have no idea, folks.
I know. I was there. I was tight, too.
Very tight with him. I mean, he hooked my dad up to me and my dad up to a
Red Sox tickets,
Boston College and Notre Dame. My father's a big Notre Dame fan.
Oh wow!
Went up there and he hooked the whole thing up. I was that tight with them. But either way, he's lost his mind. He's a victim of Stockholm syndrome over there at the MSNBC, the Patty Hearst syndrome, apparently. Because just listen to him yesterday on President Trump. They were talking about the January 6th committee testimony. Listen.
We have a former president of the United States, a man who sat in the Oval Office, out there denying democracy each and every day, denying the legitimacy of a duly elected president of the United States, Joseph R. Biden. The big lie has been told so many times, over and over and over again, that it has taken hold. We can't ignore that. It's out there, it's real, and it's potentially lethal.
Now, listen, Mike, I love you. Listen, you can have your opinion, but talking about the big lie, that's like Lion Brian talking about the big lie, because remember what happened to Mike Barnicle back in the 90s. Imus actually saved his butt.
He plagiarized.
And this is the Los Angeles Times. This is the Los Angeles Times. Boston Globe columnist Mike Barnicle, already under suspension for lifting material from a book, resigned under pressure Wednesday amid suspicions that he fabricated a 1995 tearjerker about two children hospitalized with cancer. I would stay away from words like the big lie and accusing President Trump of the big lie. and stuff like that. I mean, fair. These guys got to, you know, they got to watch themselves. I mean, you throw around these false accusations like that, and you're guilty of them yourself. Mm. I mean, that's glass houses. That's Lion Bryan stuff. Yeah. Right there.
Both Joe Biden and Mike Barnicle have been guilty of plagiarizing in the past.
Oh, Joe Biden had to drop out of a presidential race in 88.
That's right.
So he plagiarized Neil Kinnock.
Now, how many people would know that?
Yes, from Britain.
You know, talking about that, I do want to get into Jeopardy. I never watched Jeopardy. Even when Alex Trebek, God rest his soul, was alive, I wasn't a huge Jeopardy guy like Bernard. But I did put it on two nights ago. And I want to talk about what I saw. We'll get to that later. We have a run of a couple of really good guests in a row coming up. Nassau County exec Laura Kern is back for her second visit. And Fox News star Jesse Waters. A very exciting 7 a.m. hour here this morning. Keep it right here with two great guests in a row.
We do not need more gun control. We need more idiot control.
Little Beach Boys for you. Why not? Long Island Beach. I'll be on the beach this weekend. Going to be beautiful Saturday and Sunday, high 70s, no humidity. Talking about the beach on Long Island, back in 2018, Laura Curran became the ninth county executive in county history and the first woman to be elected to that position. She was a writer for a while, too, local papers, and she's making her third appearance on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show. She came on this show when the Islanders had their epic run towards the Stanley Cup. They did lose to Tampa Bay, who won their second consecutive Stanley Cup. But big New York Islander hockey fan, big Bernie and Sid fan, and back again, Nassau County Executive Laura Curran. Laura, good morning. How are you?
Hello, Laura.
Good morning, guys. I'm wonderful. I'm so happy to be back.
And we are thrilled to have you back. Now you've got my cell phone, by the way.
I'm going to be texting you in the middle of the night.
Go ahead. Go for it. I like that. Now, listen, this kid, Andrew Capobianco, this is a great story. Silver medal winner. Now, Bernie and I are not as enthusiastic about these Olympics as we've been in the past. We've admitted that. But when a local kid out of Wantagh makes it big, and you're on the phone, Laura, out of Long Island, we are compelled to talk about it. How about Andrew getting a silver medal?
Amazing. Wantagh High School graduate. And I don't know if you know this, but both of his parents are retired NCPD cops.
Oh, wow. Didn't know that.
NCPD, Nassau County Police.
Even bigger.
Yeah. Nassau County Police.
Even more reason to love this kid. And by the way,
we have Caitlin O'Brien from Massapequa, who was rowing. There was a big watch party out there in Massapequa last night. Really, we've got some great athletes here.
Representing Nassau County. Hey, listen, Laura Kern, listen, I must say, Laura's like the mayor of Nassau County. And unlike the mayor of New York City, people in Nassau County actually love the mayor. You've done a great job during the pandemic. Everybody loves Laura Kern, I got to say that. And you're working on this Afghanistan-Iraq War Memorial out in Nassau County. I think the date is October 7th, but you're trying to raise some money for it. Tell us about that, Laura.
Yeah, exactly. So we have a beautiful memorial for all the wars in Eisenhower Park. And my acting county attorney, he's actually an Iraqi war veteran himself. He's in the Army Reserves. And he came up with this great idea for a monument for the veterans of Afghanistan and Iraq. So we have a committee we've put together. We're raising money, and we want to have a groundbreaking on October 7th. And I think, you know, right after the 20th anniversary of 9/11 and the outbreak, obviously, of the war in Afghanistan, we want to thank and honor these veterans. And, you know, a lot of the young veterans don't join the VFWs and the American Legions. We would love to get them more involved.
Well, it's clear, Laura, that this is sincere coming from you and you care about these kids. I know you're also giving active duty military along with Reserve and National Guard the same discounts that veterans get for all the parks, programs, and services you've got in Nassau County, which, again, Bernie and I applaud. That's a very big deal. Congrats on that.
Well, we got to thank these men and women who step up and serve our country and protect our very precious freedoms, which are very rare when you think about it in the course of human history. So, you know, any way that we can thank them, we were always thinking of it.
So, Laura Curran, Nassau County Executive, the CDC came down with some mask guidelines. Where do we stand in Nassau County on mask, well, say, mandates?
So I am looking, my team, our health department, we're looking at what D.C. is saying, what's coming down from Albany. And I would just encourage, you know, we have the highest vaccination rate among adults in the state. So of 62 counties, we're number one in vaccination rate. And we're number four in the nation in terms of counties a million people and over. So I think our residents are very sensible. I think they see the vaccine as the passport back to normal. And so I encourage people, if you're on the fence, it's great to go on the internet and get information there. But for medical information, I would encourage people to talk to their doctor, talk to a healthcare professional that you trust, and listen to that person. It, you know, if it's the right thing for you, I would encourage you to do it.
It's just so confusing, whether it's been a medical doctor. I've had my own doctors. I'll be honest, they've gone back and forth. The CDC is impossible to follow. The WHO is even worse. Guys like Dr. Fauci continues to embarrass himself night in and night out. It really has become impossible during this time to trust anyone. I trust myself, honestly, and I don't know anything about medicine, but somehow I have not gotten sick in the last 2 years. Well, so whatever I'm doing is seemingly working.
Well, but the question would be here, I guess, the important question is, schools, are they going to be able to make their own choices locally?
There you go.
As opposed to the government telling them?
Good question.
You know, it's interesting. The signals coming from Albany yesterday were leaning towards something that I've been talking about for months, that I've been saying consistently that I believe school districts are best positioned to make this decision for their communities. Parents are in a good position to make this decision in consultation with their healthcare professionals.
Well, I like that very, very much, Laura Kern. They should be able to make it independent of the government, I think. Listen, Laura, also out in Nassau County, and you're all over this. You're all over everything in Nassau County. I see you all the time. Right in my backyard, we have sharks in Lido Beach.
We do.
I mean, you see them on tape. The helicopters are videotaping, and you had a lifeguard bit. I mean, the beautiful, gorgeous beaches, of course, but now this phenomenon this year, and there was some of that last year as well.
They have Atlantic Beach, too?
Well, close to Atlantic Beach, but Point Lookout, Lido, and Long Beach, seemingly, and Jones Beach as well, seemingly in the recent past. What's up with those sharks, Laura Curran?
Yes, we had two sightings last week. We had the possible bite. The scientists are looking at to see if it was actually a shark. We don't know yet. But a little nip was taken on a lifeguard sighting Tuesday off Jones Beach. Wednesday, there were two black tip sharks off Jones Beach. So last year, we had about 20 shark sightings, way more than usual. And they started at the end of July. And here we are again at the end of July with the more sharks out there. So we have enhanced patrols out there. We have the guys up. I was actually walking down the boardwalk in Long Beach last night with my husband. Saw the helicopters going by. We've got the Marine Bureau boats out on the water.
Yeah.
What?
And yeah, I mean, I don't want to be alarmist, and I don't, you know, I love swimming in the ocean. You should continue to go. But when the lifeguard blows that whistle and you see that arm bringing you back, there's a good reason for
it. No, you got to get out. Yeah,
run for the hills.
I mean, I have not gone in the water yet. I go to the beach almost every weekend, Atlantic Beach, and it's too cold for me still. So I'm still not going into the water just yet. But when you couple now the water temperature with the real possibility now that I'm going to get eaten by a shark, I'm not going in. That's it. I'm done.
Well, Sid,
I'm like Roy Scheider.
It may be too cold for you, but it's a little warmer, so that brings the bunker and the bluefish, which the other creatures like to eat, and the water's cleaner, which is great news.
That's true.
And it's just a reminder that we share this beautiful island and the waters off it with other creatures. We're visiting them. We're going into their home when we go in the water.
No,
so,
that's fair.
You know,
that is fair.
You got to take off your bling before you go swimming because the little glinty gold and diamonds looks like scales, and that can be very attractive to hungry sharks.
All right. I do wear a gold number one dad necklace.
How are you going to take that belly button?
that
belly ring.
On the way out, Todd Shapiro, the great Todd Shapiro, our mutual friend, tells me that you may be involved with this big Tony Orlando concert coming up August the 29th. What is that all about?
Yeah, this is our salute to veterans. So our concerts have been off the hook. We've had thousands of people coming to our concerts at Lakeside Theater and Eisenhower Park. So we got Tony Orlando back next month for our salute to veterans, and I'm really excited. We had a really fun press conference.
Oh, Eisenhower Park. I used to go to a club Thursday nights, Metro 700. It was like the WDRE music. What kind of music? Alternative music. Right. You ever go there, Laura?
Yeah.
You ever go there?
No. I never went there.
You never went there? You missed out. It was a great time. Thursday nights in Eisenhower Park. Anyway, thank you so much for hopping on again today. We love when you stop by. Best of luck out there in Nassau County.
And thanks for doing a great job, Laura Kern.
Thank you,
You're
Laura.
Fantastic.
Thanks.
And right. I just want to remind everyone, U.S. News and World Report called Nassau County the safest community in America, and we're going to keep it that way.
Love it. Love it. Oh, yes. Laura Kern on the Bernie and Sid Show. She's terrific. Nassau County executive. Thank you so much, Laura. Traffic and sports coming up next, but right now it is time for the 77 WABC Clip of the Day. Listen to Rita Cosby, weeknights at 10 o'clock. Here Rita talks with Ken Cuccinelli. This guy about the rise in the COVID cases at the southern border.
Talking to Ken Cuccinelli, the former Deputy Secretary of Homeland Security in the Trump administration, what do you think is driving this?
Well, I think what's driving it drives the open border policy, and that is a higher priority for the radical left, to which Joe Biden responds, to bring in illegal aliens and find a way to give them amnesty and get them voting. That's a multi-year long-term plan for them. This is not an accident. This is future elections that they think they're winning this way. And they're willing to sacrifice our lives, especially the lives of those who live along the border in California, New Mexico, Arizona, and Texas, to their grand strategy.
This is Sid on Sports.
Oh, my goodness!
On 77 WABC.
Let's start with the Mets. Another exciting victory as they eat past the Braves. Excellent start for Seth Lugo, I should say, over six innings of work. Only gave up one run. This game was 1-1 in the seventh when the Mets got the hit to win the game.
Alonzo. Truly a drive, got a hanger, and he does it again. The former Brave has absolutely murdered Atlanta pitching in this series. A pinch hit, two-run homer, and the Mets are back in front.
Gary Cohen on the call. That would be, of course, SNY. The Mets beat the Braves by a final score of 2-1. The Mets improved to 54-46 after 100 games on the season. Right now, they've got a four-game lead on the Phillies and a five-game lead on the Braves. Yankees are making big news today. It looks like they may acquire left-handed power hitter Joey Gallo. The 27-year-old out of Texas already has 25 home runs this year for the Rangers. He's also had a 41 home run season in 2017 and a 40 home run season in 2018. And the Yankees won last night. They beat Tampa by a final score of 3-1 behind five pitchers. And the Yankees improved to 53-47. Right now they are 8.5 behind the division-leading Boston Red Sox. Later on tonight from the Barclays Center, for the first time in 2 years, the NBA draft is back. Last year, of course, it was over Zoom. So this year in Brooklyn, the NBA draft will take place later on tonight. Sports brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Check them out, peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com. They do build America's best boilers. Jesse Waters is coming up next with sports. I'm Sid. Every day this week, folks, the Peerless Boilers Beat Bernie contest will feature Bernie pitted against a Red Apple Media employee. He's won all three games. Ironically, a score of 4-3 all 3 days. Today's contestants will be 77 WABC producers Gabby Lopez, who right now is manning our live stream. You can watch us every morning on WABCRadio.com, and Jen Grodd as well. Listeners still have the chance to win a $100 gift card and a Barry House coffee mug by being the seventh caller when we give you the cue to call. Now, Bill O'Reilly will be here at 8:40, so it's only fitting that an hour before Bill, we bring on a guy that is now a star at Fox News. He was on Bill's show for a long time. Now he's the best on the five. He's the best of those five people. He also has his own show, 8 p.m. on Saturday night, called Waters World. And, of course, his book, out not long now, How I Saved the World, did very, very well. Here he is, the very handsome, good buddy of Bernie and Sid, Jesse Waters. Good morning, Waters. How are you?
I'm good. I'm going to tell Gutfeld you said I was the best on the five.
You are.
You can say that.
I'm sorry, you aren't. No disrespect to the rest of them.
We love Gutfeld. We like Gutfeld.
Yeah, we like Gutfeld. He's second best.
That's you. You slice and dice. You made the mincemeat of Juan Williams. What happened to Juan Williams?
Oh, thank God.
Did he check into a mental institution or something?
Thank God.
Where is he?
Where's Juan? It's like, where's Hunter? Where's Juan?
Let me tell you something. I don't even work at Fox News, Jesse. And I got more texts and emails and direct messages complaining about Juan Williams. I swear to God, I've been on Fox News three times my whole life. Bernie was on every week. I've been on three times my whole life. Text Jesse Waters. Don't ask me. Why is Juan on? Why is Donna Brazil on? Why is that one on? I don't know.
By the way,
Juan got paid to be wrong, and I still think he was way overpaid.
And we're going to get to your book, How I Saved the World, momentarily. But let me just continue the praise here. I actually played the clip on the air the next day, your slapdown of Harold Ford over the Texas voter integrity law, where you actually laid out what the law says, and you asked him, what do you find objectionable? And there was this pregnant pause, and he had no answer, no response whatsoever. That was brilliant, Jesse Warder. So kudos to you, my lad.
Well, thank you. I learned that from O'Reilly. Just basically know what's in it, and then ask him what the problem is, and they never know.
They never know. There's never an answer.
I can't argue with you, or something like that.
They don't read the bill. Yeah. I mean, I didn't read the bill. I had an assistant read the bill, but someone read the bill for me.
That's right.
Well, another thing that nobody seems to have an answer on is why we do things throughout this whole COVID stuff. And it looks like now with this Delta variant, now we've got Mark Siegel on, Nicole Sapphire almost every day. They are not ringing the alarm here, Jesse, like the rest of the media and the Democrats are. Yet, it looks like mask mandates may be back, especially if you're indoors, you've been vaccinated. What are your thoughts on this whole craziness we're about to experience, I think, once again, due to COVID?
Well, they're all scared, and they're just looking for a reason to control us. And if they really cared about crushing Delta, they'd close the border. Because right now you got, what, hundreds of thousands of unvaccinated migrants pouring over, and they're busing them into Mississippi and Texas and Florida. You know, if you guys are serious about killing Delta, close the border. But they're not serious about it. And if you look at the charts, the deaths are way down. The deaths are still at the best stretch we've had since this thing started, under 300 daily deaths a day, down from 3,000 deaths a day. Cases are up a little bit, but deaths are way down, so I'm not worried about it. And I don't want to wear a mask because I need people to recognize me on the street.
And plus, making kids wear masks, I'm sorry. Those days have
I'm upset about that. I'm really upset about that. I hope my kids' schools don't do that, because I'm going to become one of those parents that, you know, confronts the school administrators.
Yes.
And, you know, we don't need that kind of publicity. I have to lay low, but I will do that.
And as you should. I encourage Sid to do that. Go to your school board and all up in their mushes and go viral.
Knock somebody out.
Hey, Jesse, listen, your book, of course, How I Saved the World, it's terrific. It's a great read. And in it, you give tips to people for various things, overcoming left-wing radicalism, et cetera, et cetera. And the stark choice, as it says here in the PR page that I have in front of me, the stark choice between the all-American hamburger and the leftist Green New Deal breadline, stuff like that. But you also talk about your days at Fox News early on, as you started in the basement and then you moved to the O'Reilly Show. It was less than 10 years ago when you were actually booking me for the O'Reilly Show, and now look at you. You're a mega star over there at Fox News.
Yeah, could you imagine I was getting your car to the studio, I have a number one New York Times best-selling book? I mean, if I had gotten number two, I would have just said the Times rigged it against me. I started in the basement of Fox News, and I was making minimum wage, no health care. And my job was basically someone would hand me a tape. I would take a Sharpie and then I would label the tape with a Sharpie.
Right.
And it was like arts and crafts.
Yep.
And then I had this opening on The Factor. So I go up for an interview with Bill, and I sit up there, and Bill looks at me and he says, "What's your father do?" And I explain what my dad did. And then I think he forgot I was there, because for about 30 seconds, it was just awkward silence. So then I said, "Bill, I just read your latest book. It was amazing." And all of a sudden his head perks up and he says, "You seem like a smart kid. You start Monday."
That's Bill for you. That's why we love Bill. He'll be here again at 8:40 this morning. And much like Bill, Jesse, I got to make it about me, because me too. I started in customer service at a sports internet company back in 1998, making less than $8 an hour. And here I am working on a top-rated morning show in New York City. I'm an author, done TV, all this stuff like you. Not as successful as you, but certainly on that right path. And that's why you get angry when you see the Jesse Warder story or the Sid Rosenberg story. When you see folks like LeBron James or Gwen Berry at the Olympics, countless folks in this country that have had unbelievable success way past you and I, bitch and complain about this country. I've got no patience for it.
No, me neither. And I started actually as a bellhop. before I was working on The Factor, and I had to wear one of those stupid outfits.
Oh, I could see matched. You like that. You were like that Patrick Dempsey movie when he was the pizza guy, ended up banging all the ladies who went to their houses.
No. There was nothing sexy about me, but I thought I was sexy. I used to go get bags from girls that used to pull up to the hotel, and I used to see them, and I used to grab their luggage and bring them upstairs, and I would stand in the hallway as I delivered their luggage, and I would lean in and I would say, "Is there anything else?" and guys, there was never anything else.
Oh, what night?
I forgot I was wearing a bellhop uniform.
You should do it now, just for laughs. Put it on the vibe and see if they recognize you and invite you back in.
Jesse, I need the tips.
Jesse Waters from the co-host of The Five and, of course, Waters World, Saturdays at 8 o'clock. It's a great show. The book is How I Saved the World, a number one bestseller, ladies and gentlemen. How I Saved the World from Jesse Waters. And in it, Jesse, and you do this on The Five from time to time, you read texts from your mom. And I understand, as you point out on the show, your mother and father were very left-wing, radical. I think your father is Bill Ayers and your mother is Squeaky Fromm, right? very liberal parents. And you actually include some of the texts in the book. And, you know, Trump broke up a lot of families. Have you had that experience in your own family?
Well, I mean, some of the Thanksgivings were rough with Trump. I'd clear out the whole Thanksgiving table at the end. But my mom was radicalized when Trump came into office. I think she just joined the resistance, even dragged my poor father to the Women's March. And when we were the air, when I first came on, she used to send hostile text messages to me on the air about me, about Trump. And so I'd leaned over one day and I said, "Dana Perino, can you believe what my mom said?" And she said, "You got to read that on the air." So we started reading mom texts on the air. So we have a whole chapter of mom texts, but this time I respond to all of my mom's texts, and I get the last word.
Which, oh, that's awesome.
As you guys know, that's how I like it.
That is awesome. Jesse Waters, co-host of The Five, weekdays at 5 p.m. at his own show, which is great. Waters World, 8 o'clock, Saturday nights on Fox News. You know, Jess, when Trump lost, I was willing to give Biden a chance. I really was. I did feel like the temperature of the country was a little too hot. Not all Trump's fault, obviously. In fact, mostly not Trump's fault, but it was what it was. So I was willing to give Joe Biden a chance, and he spoke about unity and civility like Juan Williams would. And I have to tell you, we've seen nothing even close to that. In fact, I think we're less unified and less civil than we were 6 or 7 months ago. So I'm disappointed, even though Bernie said it was predictable. What about you?
Yeah, I wanted to give him a fair shake, too. And in the beginning, it did feel like we were all on sabbatical after 4 years of Trump. There was no news. The guy doesn't ever talk. He doesn't say anything. He doesn't do anything. He's got the lightest schedule I've ever seen. So in a way, it was a little relaxing. But then you get to the issues. And he came in, and presidents are supposed to solve problems. And Joe Biden just creates problems. He created problems on the border. He creates crime waves with his left-wingers that are defunding police. You know, he creates inflation with all the spending and all the nonsense. And critical race theory, he's totally allowed that to go on. And so he's not actually doing anything to solve problems. And it's making people very angry. And now the one thing he was elected on, right, COVID, the one mandate he has, he's screwing it up. These mask mandates and these vax mandates, he's going to just destroy the summer. And people are going to be really unhappy going into the fall, especially moms. He did the one thing you don't do in politics. He made moms mad, with masks and critical race theory.
Right.
You don't make moms mad because then dads get mad, and that's not good for business.
Now, I only wish the election was this November, I swear. It's 2022 is too far away. But in any case, Jesse Waters on the Bernie and Sid Show. From The Five, Jesse Waters, The Five, and also Waters World, 8 o'clock on Saturday nights. And the book is called How I Saved the World by Jesse Waters. How I Saved the World. And in it, Jesse, you talk about, and this is where you made your name, interviewing people on the street, exposing their ignorance, stupidity. It was hilarious, actually. Did it ever get violent off the air? Any of the, you know, sometimes the questions were tough and people might get mad and frustrated. Tell us a little bit about the interviews.
Well, I used to go out and ask questions, and it was fine until Trump came into office. And then we had to stop the man on the street because people down in the West Village or in Union Square you guys know, Washington Square Park,
yep.
people started interfering with the shoot
wow.
and touching my cameraman and touching the audio tech and pulling at cables. And you just couldn't put a piece together like that. So we had to stop, but we're bringing it back. And I've been out on the streets a few times this summer for Waters World for Saturday night show. And it's fun again. And all we do is just ask basic questions. Some of my favorites are, you know, who won the Civil War?
Tough one. Tough one. The Mets?
The Germans.
The Mets. Yeah, right. No, here's a who did America fight Vietnam War?
Tough. China.
Yeah.
South Korea. So, you know, it was just gold.
It is. It's great.
Yeah,
it's hilarious. And it's edifying as well.
It is.
Sad. Very sad.
So on the way out, Jesse, and again, another great appearance. And Bernie and I love you. And congratulations on both shows on Fox News and the book as well. Bill O'Reilly is going to be here in 45 minutes. We will cut this up and replay it. Do you have a message for your mentor, the man that made you who you are today, Bill O'Reilly?
Bill, I'm sorry I knocked you out of the top spot for the New York Times list.
Well, wait a second.
What kind of nice message is that?
And by the way,
no, I love Bill, and Bill knows I love him, and I wrote some very nice things about him and how I saved the world. And I owe everything to Bill, because as he said, I was bothering everybody inside the office. So he had to send me out to the streets to bother everybody outside. And that's how he came up with Waters World. And I owe everything to the guy.
He's the best. He had some very good keen instincts,
yes.
Bill O'Reilly, by picking you, Jesse Waters, the book, How I Saved the World, a number one bestseller. It is fantastic. It's funny. Check it out, How I Saved the World by Jesse Waters. Jesse, thank you and good luck.
Thank you, pal.
Bernie and Sid, thanks, guys.
You got it. You're great. Jesse Waters right here on Bernie and Sid. And as we talked about, Bill O'Reilly and Lydia Reports coming up in a very exciting 8 o'clock hour.
Back here on the Bernie and Sid, you heard everywhere on that 77 WABC app simulcast on Eastern Long Island. News Talk 107.1 FM. Coming up next hour, the great Big Bad Bill O'Reilly. And also, this is amazing as well. The mayor of Seattle, a 180 could not be more complete than this idiot did regarding defunding the police. You're not going to believe this. We have it on the Bernie and Sid Show.
Thanks to Nassau County Executive Laura Curran and, of course, Fox News star Jesse Waters. Last hour, big hour here coming up with Lydia Reports coming your way at 8:25. And, of course, Bill O'Reilly coming up at 8:40. And we'll start where we started about 90 minutes ago, and that is COVID. We did mention earlier that Disney World has announced if you go back, you must wear masks indoors. Moments ago, Apple stores across the country have announced if you go into an Apple store, you must wear a mask. Last night, the Washington Nationals baseball game was postponed because 12 members of the Washington National baseball team have been infected with the COVID. And now Pfizer comes out this morning and says there are new reports. Maybe it wasn't Pfizer, but somebody reporting.
No, it wasn't Pfizer.
Right. That after 6 months, the Pfizer vaccine, which is what I got and Bernie got, seems to wane, and you're going to need a booster shot. Point being, that with all these mask mandate talks going on right now and all these new cases and all the stuff going on, I am telling you, whether you want to believe it or not, you can say anything you want, we are heading back. We are heading back to where we were. Maybe not as bad, but we're not going to have all the liberties we've got right now. We're just not. It's coming back.
By the way, the Pfizer thing, the efficacy, if I could use a $3 word.
Good word, yes.
It goes down to from 96% or 98% to 84%. So
still pretty
it's
good.
It's not as drastic. The J&J was, I mean, I think that thing was in the 60s. It's still pretty good, yeah. But you get a booster shot and then you're Superman, from what I understand.
Well, please. You don't know
well,
that.
According to the report.
Right.
I don't know anything.
And then they're going to come out in 2 months and tell you that, well, we thought that, but now we need a second booster shot. I mean, they're going to shoot us up every couple of months the rest of our lives.
I don't know.
This is ridiculous.
Yes, it is ridiculous. And no, we're not going back to where we were. Lockdowns are not
going
to happen.
No, but we're going halfway back.
We might go back to a mask mandate in certain places.
Every place.
But
anytime you go indoors.
Restaurants,
maybe.
Apple stores. Oh, definitely.
Maybe not.
Bet on it.
There was the former head of the CDC for President Obama, this guy Scott Gottlieb. He said yesterday, Scott Gottlieb, he's not some, right-wing guy that wants everything locked down.
Yes, he is.
I mean, that doesn't want everything locked down.
Yes, he is. He got blistered by the liberal media for saying a bunch of things, agreeing with you and I
know,
and Trump in the past.
But if he worked for Obama, he's not.
I know.
He didn't work for Trump.
I know.
My point. And he said, he pointed to the UK. He said everything is on the wane there. And typically we trail them by about 3 weeks so that we might be at our peak now with this Delta thing. And as people get more and more people are starting to get vaccinated, the vaccination rates are going way up because of this heightened awareness, because of this Delta, this Indian variant. And so, no, the lockdowns are not going to – people are not going to go with the lockdowns anymore. Maybe mask mandates.
I'm going to say definitely mask mandates, not maybe. And I agree the lockdowns may be a bit much. But the fact is they don't want this to go away, whether it's the media, whether it's your liberal cities and states. They are doing everything they can to make sure this doesn't go away. And American people, for the most part, are stupid. They just are. And they're scared. And they have no issue diving right back in. So I don't see how you really think this is not going to be a major issue. Maybe not lockdowns, but masks inside restaurants, maybe shutting down some stores. Twitter shut down their offices yesterday. I think we're in store for some pain again.
Why would restaurants want to hurt their own businesses? I mean,
not going to have a choice. What do you mean? It's going to come down from the government. Whether it's the Cuomo,
so why hasn't Cuomo or de Blasio done it yet? I mean, the guidelines came out 2 days ago.
I think they will. I think they will relatively soon.
If they were going to do it, they would have done it already.
No, not
obviously they're hesitating. They don't want to do it.
They are hesitating. You're right, but I think one or two more of these CDC recommendations, whoever it is, and they're going to dive in. I don't think they want this to go away.
Listen,
my fear.
You want some clarity on this whole thing?
Yes.
Listen to this congressman, and I swear to God, this is a smart guy. He's from Florida. His name is Byron Donalds. He's a rising star in the Republican Party. This is clarity on what's happening right now. Listen to this guy.
The only science the left cares about is political science. They have a problem. They have weaponized the media to just count gross cases while ignoring actual statistical data, which is what is the amount of hospitalizations per capita? What are the deaths per capita? What does that look like in a post-vaccine world? The media is still reporting on this as if we're still back in last summer, not understanding the fact that the metrics have completely changed. And so this White House is trapped in this because they put out these arbitrary goalposts to just to make Joe Biden look good. People didn't comply with what Joe Biden wanted to do, and now they're scrambling. Look, the reality is this. Hospitalization rates per capita are still very manageable. Deaths per capita are actually down compared to the amount of cases that we're seeing go up, because the people who are getting infected mostly are unvaccinated people who are not in the vulnerable age areas of being plus 65 or having other health abnormalities.
Now, to his point, 2 weeks ago, there were 600 deaths every 7 days. From COVID, from either Delta or whatever, the Alpha, right. Either the Indian or the China virus. Now, today, 250 deaths every 7 days throughout the whole country.
That's great. And Byron Donalds is great.
That's less than half.
I understand. But how many places today are you going to hear Byron Donalds compared to the hysteria, which I do watch? I watch Shepard Smith.
So
that's my point. It doesn't matter what the facts are. I mean, it's great that you and I play the facts. We don't run this country, our cities and states, based on facts. And the hysteria right now is that a red five?
The reason why the blue states, like people like Cuomo, they don't want to do this. They don't want to be compared and contrasted to a place like Florida and Texas again. They don't want to be, oh, we're the shutdown state, we're the the overreaction state. They don't want to squash businesses again. They don't want to screw things up again. They don't want to be contrasted. They know these facts as well.
They didn't care before.
That's why they know they see these facts.
But they had facts before they still did these types of things.
I know, and they've learned that it was a mistake, and they suffered for it.
You think they've learned that?
I really do, yeah.
Okay, I think
they have. Hey, listen, we talked yesterday. This is a black couple died from COVID after refusing to take the vaccine because they didn't trust doctors after the 40-year-long Tuskegee syphilis experiment that denied penicillin to black men. So the vaccine hesitant people, mostly minority, mostly young. Not what the fake news wants you to think, that it's some Trump, you know, Trump followers. Most Trump followers, they're older and they've gotten the vaccine. It's not what these people are telling you. It's minorities and young people who are either apolitical or probably liberal.
Right.
So those are the people that are not getting the vaccine. Forget what they tell you about Alabama or Arkansas or whatever the hell it is. It is, again, it's minorities. And this is one of the reasons that blacks, you hear them all the time. They don't trust the government. And plus, Biden did a horrible job. He told you if you got the vaccine, you would never have to wear a mask. And now they're flip-flopping on that. So how can you possibly trust these people after all the things Dr. Fauci got wrong, the fool that he was? Forget the fact that he enabled the virus to actually originate back in Wuhan without tax dollars. He got everything wrong. Nobody trusts them. They don't have any credibility. We can't listen to them. And they're lying again about the stats, as you heard Donald say.
But they've all been wrong. Not just Dr. Fauci. The CDC has been wrong. The WHO has been wrong. Every government agency that we're supposed to rely on and count on has been wrong. Every one of them.
Plus, they were wrong, of course. And everybody knows this. They were wrong on defund the police.
Yes.
Right? I mean, like, who couldn't predict that, you take away the police, take away the money from the police, cut back on the police departments, that crime would rise. I mean, who possibly could have predicted that? Yet, this was the mayor, Jenny Durkin, back in 2020, a year ago. This is what she said.
We've got four blocks in Seattle that you just saw pictures of that is more like a block party atmosphere.
How long do you think Seattle in those few blocks looks like this?
I don't know. We could have the summer of love.
Seattle. Excuse me if I said
Seattle.
So that was her last year. Summer love. This is great. Defund the police. This is wonderful. This was her yesterday.
Seattle saw one of the worst late night, early morning of violence in recent memory. Mothers lost their children. Families lost their fathers. People lost their friends. As a city, we cannot continue on this current trajectory of losing police officers like we have this year. Into the next years. When city leaders talk about cutting a department by 50%, you will lose employees. Families need security. We cannot just cut. We need a plan.
Ultimately, I'm always right.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Joe Biden, for that. Thank you, Kamala Harris. Thank you, Black Lives Matter. Thank you, Antifa, for all the deaths and the destruction that's occurring in the inner city, mostly with black people. And it's not just gun violence, by the way. The Asian lady who was...
She died.
She died.
Yeah.
And there was no gun involved.
No.
There was a person. We have a person, a crime problem. And
Kennedy says we've got an idiot problem. But I'll tell you, I'm getting a lot of texts right now on my phone, and it was always anecdotal because it's just my phone, that is saying, Sid, I agree with you. I think Bernie's wrong. And I think what they're going to try to do, all these folks, is keep this thing alive and well, and there will be mask mandates, and they will try to get as close as they can without lockdowns to what it was before, leading up to the 2022 midterms.
Yeah, I know what they want to try to do.
They're going to do it. What do you mean? Who's going to stop them?
You? Yeah, the people will.
Oh.
I think, listen, maybe I'm being Pollyannish, naive, but I don't see it had the lockdowns. I don't see
you keep saying lockdowns. No one's saying lockdowns. Well, but if you got to wear masks inside restaurants, it's going to happen, and every store you walk into, it's going to have the same feel without I'm not saying it's going to be as serious as lockdowns, but you're going to get halfway there. And that was a very uncomfortable stage. Very uncomfortable.
Now, listen, I know they want to keep this going so they can steal the 2022 election. I know that. Believe
me.
That's one of their goals, if they could sort of stretch this out, string it out. But we also have an economy to worry about, and people have seen what happened before. The lockdowns did not work. Listen, nobody's been clearer, except for Byron Donalds, perhaps, but President Trump on the vaccine itself. This is what he said on Saturday.
How about the vaccine? I came up with the vaccine. They said it would take 3 to 5 years, going to save the world. I recommend you take it, but I also believe in your freedoms 100%.
End of conversation.
Oh, we were saying that from day one.
That's clarity.
We were saying from day one, you can't shut down the country.
Well, what's Biden doing? He's all over.
That's my point.
Today is Freedom Day. You don't have to wear a mask.
See, you're making my point for me. There is no clarity. There is no real direction. They are worried about their political futures. And I'm telling you, I know you feel differently, that you can bet on it. It may not be as serious as a lockdown. You keep saying lockdown. I'm not saying it's going to be that bad, but it's going to come close. They're going to make our lives miserable over the next year.
They botched this terribly, awfully. In fact, they were sincere back a few weeks ago when they said they wanted to open up. They were sincere about it. Now, with this Delta variant and the fake news, hyping it up and fear-mongering,
right.
They don't know what they're doing. They're confused. They're incompetent is what they are.
They know what they're doing. They're evil. They know exactly what
they're
doing.
They're full of crap.
No. The Biden administration does not.
No, not Biden.
Walensky is confused. One day she's talking about, I'm worried about, I have this sense of impending doom. And then 3 weeks later, she's like, hey, this is great. Everything can open
pathetic.
Up. They're all over the place.
They
don't know what they're doing.
The media knows exactly what they're doing based upon the ineptitude of the administration and how easy it is to have people in the street buy it.
You had even had Erin Burnett calling out the Biden administration on the confusing messaging.
800 people
CNN.
Watch Erin Burnett.
All I'm saying is that is a fake news station that's calling out the Biden administration.
No, listen, I saw Shepard Smith hold a doctor in Texas a couple of days ago to said to him, why are we doing this? And he's also a liberal guy. So, yes, even liberals are asking the questions. But with all that said, I'm telling you, don't throw those masks out just yet, folks. I have a bunch in my house still. I'm not throwing them out just yet.
I just don't want to have to wear one at the gym, babe. That's all.
It's coming.
I don't care about the restaurants.
It's coming.
I won't go. If you put a mask mandate in your restaurant, I'm not going to your restaurant.
Me either.
We're staying out.
But the gym, they're going to make you do it.
Maybe not. Who knows?
If they do, will you still go?
I might, but I'd keep it down below my nose.
Fair enough. I would still go. You're being honest. Litter Reports is coming up next.
I ain't going to a restaurant. I boycott any place that demands you wear a mask.
I believe you
and
will.
And I think a lot of businesses will heed that.
I believe you will. I will walk in without a mask, and if they throw me out, that's fine. Bill O'Reilly coming up at 8:40. Keep it right here at Bernie and Sid Thursday.
I just try to keep it real.
This is Lydia Reports on 77 WABC. Here's Lydia Serrani.
This report is sponsored by Life Back. One child dies every 5 days from choking. Your world, it can change in minutes. As a parent myself, I have a daughter, little Julia. You can protect your entire family with this simple device. Go to lifeback.net. Use code WABC for 10% off. That's lifeback.net.
One note before you get into your report, just so you know, Bernie, Ralph Napolitano just texted me. Him and his brother, Tony, great guys. They own Ann and Tony's, which I've been to with my family on Arthur Avenue. It's a great Italian restaurant. Mm-hmm. And he says, and I quote, everyone is welcome to Ann and Tony's. If you want to wear a mask or not, it's your choice. I don't wear one. We'll never wear one again. Masks are a health hazard. Come to Ann and Tony's. Maskless.
My man. That's the spirit. That's the attitude.
Well, I've been seeing actually on Twitter that a lot of eateries here in New York City will require any indoor diners to show their vaccination cards or to have that Excelsior pass. Yes, it's several eateries already. And I think it's going to get more and more. You know that Excelsior pass that you can have like an app?
Sure.
They're saying that you would have to show that in order to have indoor dining. For takeout, they don't care if you're vaxxed, but to sit there and eat, you would have to show your vaccination.
Some of them. But you know what?
But isn't that racist to show ID, I thought? I thought that's racist.
It is. So it's going to keep black people out.
Oh, there you go. But black people and Hispanics because they're not able to get IDs.
But I have my vax card in my pocket, so I'm good.
Mine is home.
It's on my phone.
I took a picture
of it. It's on my phone.
I did as well in case I lost it. But either way, people know. If you don't, you might not be able to partake in some society in general if you don't get vaccinated. People know that. That's part of not getting vaccinated. So everybody knows it's a free country. Private businesses have the right to do whatever they want. I think most people won't do that because they want business, but who knows?
Oh, well, it's interesting how the media is kind of portraying this because they're all about my body, my choice. But then when it comes to vaccines, they want to hold you down and shove a needle in your arm.
Well, no, but this way with only allowing vaccinated people in, you won't have to make people wear masks.
No, I'm sure they'll still have to wear a mask.
Really?
Sure not when they're eating.
Well, that, you sure that? You
yeah.
Would Tony and Ann do that?
No, he's not doing it. But
the CDC's recommendation yesterday was vaccinated or not, you have to wear a mask. That was it.
I know.
And there will be the majority of places are not Ralph Napolitano and Ann and Tony's. They're going to make you wear a mask.
Well, can we put a muzzle on AOC?
Well,
by the way,
I think the market will dictate that.
Well,
people are going to, if vaccinated people are not going to go to a place where they have to wear a mask. They're going to say, screw you, I'm going to go to this other joint that's not making me wear a mask.
How come the market didn't dictate all of this 9 months ago? Well, why do you think all of a sudden now people are going to comply?
It was novel. You know, they called it the novel coronavirus. Everything was new. Now people have learned. We've learned.
Well, I mean, you see, again, you've learned. I don't think you pay attention to the majority of folks who watch media, watch the fake news, and they're scared again. They are scared again, the majority of people, not you.
Yeah.
So I think you're wrong. I think you're going to see people that got vaccinated.
I know you think I'm wrong, and I think you're wrong.
Okay, well, we'll see.
We're going to see what happens.
The proof is on my side because we've done this once before, and they acted a certain way, and now the media is scaring them again. So the proof is, I mean, we'll see, but we've seen them act one way before and not the way you think they're going to act now.
Right, and I think we've learned a huge lesson. I think a lot of people
are overestimating the intelligence of a lot of people.
My point exactly. Intelligence, the fear factor.
People who run small businesses wearing masks outside. People who run small businesses are very smart people. I'm not overestimating their
intelligence. No, not the businesses, but people themselves.
They're smart, Bernie. If the local officials decide that this is the way it's going to go, they're going to have to do it. They're not going to give up their businesses because they're going to be worried they'll be fined.
Take it easy. Slow down. Nobody has decided yet that's going to be the case.
But the guidelines came out two days ago.
And yet nobody has said...
Bernie, they came out once. If they keep coming out with these guidelines... Stop telling them to take it easy. Don't get mad. It's okay to have a back and forth.
Like Dr. Fauci. Your hands are starting to shake.
Stop.
Take it easy.
No, seriously, stop.
Do I have to come?
It's okay to go back and forth. Let's get a big hug.
Slow down.
It's okay to go back. Stop doing that. Seriously, that's annoying. Stupid.
Right,
stop
right,
it.
Right.
Stop it. Yeah. We made the point that, yes, right now they haven't done it yet, but if these keep coming out, these recommendations, that eventually they may make that point.
And we disagree on that.
Right. So that's it. Go ahead. Go to your point.
Well, I'll segue this because this is something we can all agree on. AOC is a moron. Well, the January 6th riot, she said that she was afraid she was going to be killed and she was in a building hundreds of yards away? Well, she said she was afraid she was going to be killed. Meanwhile, the rioters never even entered anywhere near her. We know that, right? That was a total fabrication. Now take a listen to hear what she told CNN's Dana Bash what she thought was going to happen to her and listen to her explanation of it. It's quite bizarre. Listen.
That attack on the Capitol, you know, white supremacy and patriarchy are very linked in a lot of ways. There's a lot of sexualizing that violence.
She's turned on.
And I didn't think that I was just going to be killed. I thought other things were going to happen to me as well.
So what sounds like what you're telling me right now is that you didn't only think that you were going to die. You thought you were going to be raped.
Yeah.
Please. I understand she says she was a victim of sexual assault. I get that. But what does one have to do with the other? What does a bunch of rioters have anything to do with unless the guy who was sexually assaulted her was a Trump supporter who was also a white supremacist? I don't understand.
She's a confirmed liar. We know that. She's a drama queen. We know that as well. And she's not a smart person. We know all those three things. So,
but was there sexual assault in her history, in her life? She was sexually assaulted?
She says she was sexually assaulted in her past.
In her past.
I didn't know that.
But then what does the riot have anything to do with? I don't understand what one has to do with the other.
Anybody,
I know trauma is trauma, but not, one doesn't have to do with the other. I don't know.
I don't recall anybody being sexually assaulted during the riot or the so-called riot or the aftermath or anything like that.
Well, and the way she explains it about the patriarchy and the white and the sexualization, I didn't find anything sexy about those
rioters.
These
are stupid people.
I am very perplexed by her, as always, and that's why maybe she'll understand if I talk to her like this. Maybe she'll understand what I have to say to her, because if I use her language. Can you believe she says she's from the Bronx? You could tell I'm from the Bronx. You could tell Bernie's from the Bronx. She's not from the Bronx. People from the Bronx don't talk like, well, yes, I was afraid that I was going to be sexually assaulted.
They don't sound like Valley girls.
No, she does. Like, she has like...
No, we say New York. What's up, New York?
And once you're from the Bronx, even when I was in South Carolina for 5 years, this is how I sounded. And everybody knew it. It just doesn't leave you, right? You're from Brooklyn.
No.
It never, ever leaves you.
I can't even listen to myself sometimes, but I sound so Bronx-y.
Me too.
Just to me, anyway.
Other
people say it's fine. It's acceptable to them. They even like it. I don't like it that much.
I know.
And it used to be worse, by the way.
Me too. Everybody thought I was Puerto Rican. They used to think I was Puerto Rican because my name is Lydia, and they'd be like, "Oh, you Puerto Rican?
Yo,
are you Puerto Rican?
I'm a mother."
I was like, "Are you Puerto Rican?" Well, yeah. So you guys are cool now?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, you guys. It's all love in here. It's all love. We can all always agree to disagree. We can agree that they're blowing this completely out of proportion. January 6th. I'm sorry, it was not an insurrection. They are not terrorists. And yet, all the rioters that burned down all these buildings, including government buildings, by the way. And what was it like? 19 people at least died during the BLM riots. Those people, those charges were dropped. All these things.
2,000 cops were injured.
2,000 cops were injured.
We had these blubbering toy cops the other day, and that's what the Capitol Hill
cops. They're being used. They're being played.
I heard a cop say yesterday, they're nothing more than glorified museum cops. They really don't do anything. The guy who called Trump a hitman, this big fat guy, he's not only was he fat, but he couldn't chase down Nancy Pelosi. He's fatter than Jerry Nadler.
But what if her teeth fell out of her mouth and then she had to stop and
he couldn't chase her down. He's that big. He's that overweight. And yet he's a cop? Excuse me, I don't think so.
Well, Pelosi, been played. This was all political theater because the whole point of it is to find out the truth of what happens. In order to find that out, we need to put Pelosi on the stand because what did she know that she turned down the extra security?
Well, that's why
did that
happen? That's why they booted Jordan and Banks from the committee.
Well, I don't know. This is, in my opinion, this is just my opinion. I think it's political theater. I think these cops are being used and abused, and I think they were reading from a script probably handed to them by Speaker Pelosi's office.
No doubt.
Because you could tell they couldn't even read it. Who can't read their own writing?
That's what I said earlier about the fat cop. He not only was he fat, but he read the script awfully. He's fat, stupid toy cop. That's what he was.
Who
was reading from a script and not very well.
I don't discount.
He called Trump a hitman.
That's ridiculous.
And then it turns out that he tweeted himself. He tweeted this. I'm going to read this verbatim. This is what he tweeted. During the George Floyd riots, he tweeted, "Why is murder an appropriate response to property damage, but property damage isn't an appropriate response to murder?" That's what the fat, stupid toy cop who called Trump a hitman tweeted and then deleted. He tweeted that in the middle of the riot.
And they also said that Officer Sicknick died resulting from injuries he sustained during the Capitol attack, which was completely not true as well. So it's absolutely ridiculous. But anyway, that report is sponsored by LifeHack. One child dies every 5 days from choking. Your world, it can change in minutes. And as a parent myself, protect your entire family with this simple device. I did that. I got the device because I wanted to protect my daughter, my dad. He's old. This is what happens to you when you're young and old. You're like the same, right? You have difficulty swallowing and chewing. So get a LifeHack. Go to WABC for 10% off. That's LifeHack.net.
Great job. I actually just saw on Facebook me doing a LifeHack commercial.
Yes.
I just saw it, a video.
You
I guess.
Just saw it?
I just saw it for the first time, yeah.
And you both are super tan, so it didn't look weird.
Oh, me and Arthur, yeah.
Yes.
I was alone in that one, though. Check out Lydia every weekday afternoon at 4 o'clock. Her show is really, really great. She sits alongside Jod Katsimatidis at 5. You can follow Lydia on Twitter, at Lydia News, and on Instagram, at Lydia News 1.
Back here in the Bernie and Sid show. Heard everyone at 77 WABC app. Simulcast out on Eastern Long Island. News Talk 107.1 FM. And here he is, ladies and gentlemen, the featured guest of the week, as usual, every Thursday at 8:40-ish. And his new book, of course, Killing the Mob. There's another one coming out next month. Bill will tell you about that in a little bit. But he's from BillO'Reilly.com, 9 o'clock at nights on 77 WABC. Good morning, Bill O'Reilly.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
It could be worse.
Back, Bill.
Could be worse. Could be a lot worse, Bill O'Reilly. Listen, one of the things I read I saw actually the interview with Bernard Goldberg. You talked about the root cause of crime, and Bernard Goldberg pointed it out, which was, you tell us about it because everybody's avoiding it. They're calling the crime problem gun violence. Well, the Asian lady who died at the Canal Street subway station, she finally died. She was in a coma for like 2 weeks. The guy who killed her didn't use a gun. The lady who had her walker stolen up in Harlem, the handicapped lady, the 60-something-year-old handicapped lady that got beat with a frying pan, they didn't use a gun. We have a human problem, and there's a root cause of that. And Bernard Goldberg laid it out. What was that, Bill?
Well, the society that we live in, all of us in America, has become more brutal since the disintegration of the family. And that happens in all ethnicities, all skin colors, but it is most prominent in African-American precincts, whereas the father, in many cases, abandons the family, and the mother can't handle the young males once they get to be 12, 13 years old, physically can't handle it. And a lot of these children feel rage. And I talked about that with John Katz on Monday. So the discussion was, well, how could any human being beat an elderly woman in a walker, steal her stuff, including the walker? How could anyone do that? And the answer is rage, R-A-G-E. Mm. So if you're a small child and you are deprived from the time your conscience, the time you know what's going on in the world, you're going to be angry. Mm. Now, this is not an excuse. This is a root cause, as you just asked me. So the disintegration of the family leads to alienation of children, and that leads to rage that gets out of control. That's it. That's all.
That's it.
So
right.
society, this is Cuomo, de Blasio, Cy Vance, and the other DAs, their obligation is not to rehabilitate these children. They can't do that. They're politicians, okay? Their obligation is to protect the elderly lady in the walker, period, 100%.
Yeah, sure.
They have no obligation to community police or to put a social worker in the back of a police car to answer a call. These things should be done, but they have to be done by adjacent agencies. And we have lost sight of this in New York. And I listed last night on the No Spin News 12 cities that have been destroyed, and I mean that literally, by progressive leadership, which refuses to do its elementary job, its fundamental job, and that is protect innocent people from these people who have rage, and they don't care if they kill you or hurt you or maim you. They don't care if you're a child or if you're elderly. As I told John Katz, if you go to a prison and you interview these people, their most common phrase is, I don't give an F.
Mm. Right. Callous disregard of life.
Yeah. Yep. True. So we had a nice little back and forth here just now, Bernie and I, on this latest COVID scare. And it doesn't matter what he believes, what I believe, but we want your opinion. I was just reading something in the New York Times. I saw it on television where they stated that this new variant has New Yorkers, quote unquote, scared again. Do you think that the folks, for the most part, learned their lesson after what we went through last year? Or do you think, because of the media bias and political bias as well, that the same folks could be scared all over again?
Okay, so let's break this down. It's a lot going on here. It's complicated. It's not the analysis I just gave you on violent crime and disintegration of families. Number one, you have a vicious virus. Everyone knows that, and it is something that has to be taken seriously. Now, I have a friend who will not acknowledge that. I'm not going to lose the friendship, but I refuse to discuss the situation.
So you think the Delta variant is a real deal, that this is very, very serious still? That's what you think?
Yes. Okay. Any offshoot of COVID is dangerous, particularly to people who have weakened immune systems, and you may not even know you have that. However, the good news is that the vaccines, Moderna and Pfizer, protect better than 90% from all of this variant stuff. So if you're vaxxed, you're in pretty good shape. And the other good news is that children under the age of 13 or 14 are not real susceptible to any COVID, and if they get it, it'll be mild. So then we now segue into the politicization of COVID. So the far left, the progressive movement, wants control over the American people. That's where you start. You can't have socialism. You can't have equity and race. You can't have any of that until you control the population. COVID is an opening. So the central government in Washington or Albany, wherever it may be, can control your actions, can force you to do things. Wear a mask, not come out of the house, shut your business down, not go to school, whatever it may be. This empowers the federal government, and the only way to get socialism and to get this new world order that the progressives want is for the government to have that kind of power, which is why you see within 30 seconds of the CDC coming out with some incomprehensible statement nobody could understand, Kamala Harris whipping on the mask and demanding that anyone in her presence wear a mask. That's insane. Kamala Harris is vaxxed, so are the reporters who cover her. But she did it to send a signal. And the signal is, you obey. You, the American citizen, obey. Unfortunately, people rebel against that, but they rebel against it in a way that says, well, I'm not going to get vaccinated. That's foolish. And that does not protect people you may love. It doesn't protect yourself, obviously. So the overreaction to the Kamala Harris is, and the, you know, Biden's so befuddled, he doesn't even know what, he thinks Delta variant is a flight to Atlanta.
Yeah,
right. Just take JetBlue.
So, yeah, that's your situation now. And now we're in another war over COVID when everybody should be working together and say, yes, this vaccine is effective. We're all going to get it. And the other thing is that the media doesn't report it accurately because they're slamming the right, and they should, for, you know, discounting the reality of COVID, while they ignore that the African-American community is the lowest community in the country on vaccinations. They totally ignore it. Won't report it.
The exact opposite. They say it's a Trump supporter type. Fox News viewers, essentially, is what they're saying.
Yeah, yeah. And there is some of that true. But some of that is true, that far-right people, because they don't trust the government, aren't getting vaxxed. But the biggest group is totally ignored by the press.
Right. Exactly right.
So we're sitting here in a country where we wake up every morning and we can't believe anything we hear in the corporate media. You're an idiot if you believe what they're telling you. All right? And then, on the other hand, we're overreacting to situations that put ourselves and others in danger, and we got to wise up here.
Yeah, cases are up, but deaths and hospitalizations are down. To break it down simply, I think Bill O'Reilly, you also wrote at BillO'Reilly.com, and this is not unrelated, I guess, to the rage and the crime problem, a column called Critical of Critical Race Theory, and it was very interesting. Maybe if you don't mind, could you explain a little bit to us right now?
Sure. Now, critical race theory is another adjutant of the progressive movement to control the population. And in order to do that, you have to break down American traditions. You have to tell children you really shouldn't respect your country because your country is essentially evil. It was based on white people exploiting black people, and it still extends to this day. So the Pledge of Allegiance, the flag, the Olympics, you don't really need that. What you need is to give us, progressive movement, power to change all this. All right? Because you're respecting your country on a false narrative. Country's bad. It's not good. It's not noble. That's critical race theory.
Yep.
That's what it is. So these loons in academia who they're, you know, their fondest wish is to be accepted by other loons. I'm writing a column that'll be filed Sunday called The Woke Club. They want to be in the club.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody wants to be more woke than the other person. So these loons, they say, oh, yeah, we're going to tell the six-year-olds how bad their country is. Well, not my six-year-old. No, sir.
Nope.
I'm not going to do it.
Nope.
And if every American felt the way as strongly as I do, there wouldn't be anybody in the public schools.
I want to see Bill O'Reilly at those school boards screaming at these administrators.
That's what we need.
We ain't having this.
Bill, we have less than a minute to go. One of your students was on this show about an hour ago talking about his very successful book, and we asked him about his mentor, Bill O'Reilly. We want you to hear this. Here is what your student had to say.
Bill, I'm sorry I knocked you out of the top spot for the New York Times list.
What? Well, wait a second.
What kind of nice message is that?
And by the way...
No, I love Bill, and Bill knows I love him, and I wrote some very nice things about him and how I saved the world. And I owe everything to Bill, because as he said, I was bothering everybody inside the office, so he had to send me out to the streets to bother everybody outside. And that's how he came up with Waters World, and I owe everything to the guy.
There you have it, Bill. He owes everything to you, Jesse Waters. How about that?
I feel like Victor Frankenstein.
Look what you created. You are.
I have created a monster. We got to get the Burgermeister and everybody with torches to put an end to this.
Hey, that's funny. Hey, not a bad creation there.
No, not
Frankie.
Bad at all.
Not bad at all.
You're fighting the Bill Walsh tree here, Bill O'Reilly. You put some very, very good, fine people to work. Hey, great job as always today. Thank you so much. And we'll do this again next week. And listen tonight at 9. Thank you so much.
Okay, guys. Have a good weekend.
You too. The great Bill O'Reilly. Check him out at 9 o'clock tonight.
Watch the sharks, Bill. I know he likes to go in the ocean.
Oh, he does.
Yeah.
He's up in Montauk. There's more sharks there.
You see him on Instagram all the time with at the ocean.
Yes.
Got to be careful.
Be careful.
He's a big target.
Yes. Bill O'Reilly here on Bernie and Sid. We got an exciting 9 o'clock hour still to come your way.
Yeah, baby. Back here on the Bernie and Sid show. On this July Friday Eve, the last one, ladies and gentlemen, last hour of the Bernie and Sid Show. We're heard, by the way, on the 77 WABC app, simulcast out on Eastern Long Island, News Talk 107.1 FM, and also live streamed. You can watch us on WABCRadio.com. And by the way, the person operating WABCRadio.com's live stream, Gabby Lopez, will be my opponent in the Beat Bernie contest coming up at 9:40. She's a colleague here, but you can still win $100. Call in. If she beats me, you win the $100 and the Barry House coffee mug. All that is coming up. In the meantime, Sid is in the ladies' room. He'll be back in a little while. Hey, Eric Adams, man, this guy, I don't know about this guy. He was speaking the other day in Douglaston, which is a very, very nice upper-middle-class white enclave. And he was speaking to a bunch of residents. I don't think he thought he was being taped, but he said some things that sounded good to maybe the people there. It certainly sounded good to me. This is what he said.
My battle is not Eric Sliva. No, I'm no longer running against candidates. I'm running against a movement all across the country. The DSA socialists are mobilizing to stop Eric Adams. They realize that if I'm successful, we're going to start the process of regaining control of our city.
So he's running against the socialists, and a lot of people took that to mean Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who we played earlier, being just the hysteric, as Megyn Kelly calls Rachel.
I don't think so.
Megyn Kelly calls Rachel Walensky an hysteric. I love that. That's what AOC is an hysteric and not a very bright one at that, but we talked about that earlier. However, Eric Adams, after that tape surfaced, he was summoned down to Washington, D.C., believe it or not, by the Democrats, and he was in one of the offices, and this Congresswoman Nydia Velasquez from Manhattan and Brooklyn, she actually told him to knock it off. We want to stay united, believe it or not. She told him that. And he responded by saying that he was sorry. He wasn't singling out AOC, and he apologized. He said it gave the appearance that it was a personal attack on Ocasio-Cortez, and that's not what I meant. But he did say he stuck to his guns that he was fighting this movement, this socialist movement, which I guess is hard. I don't know. He tells one certain set of people what he thinks they want to hear, and another group what he thinks they want to hear. I'm not sure about Eric Adams, but I'm keeping my fingers crossed. I'm still 1,000%, as Sid said earlier, we both are, behind Curtis Sliwa. Now, a person who we're not behind whatsoever. Now, this guy's been, remember, he dropped out of the presidential race for plagiarizing. He's a liar. He was the first in his class for at Harvard, and he was a professor at a college somewhere. I mean, he made all these a million lies. Of course,
this is not a joke.
Yeah, not a joke. The lies about President Trump and the very fine people, Nazis are very fine people. That's what he based his campaign on. So we know he's a flat-out liar. But yesterday, he had a string of gaffes. One of them, he was talking about, well, this was sort of his Rick Perry moment. Take a listen.
He said, I was running for three reasons. One, to restore the soul of this country, a sense of decency and honor. But secondly, to rebuild the backbone of the country.
That's two.
Hard-working, middle-class folks who built this country. And I want to point out, unions built the middle class.
That's two.
That's not a joke.
Not a joke. Not a joke. But he never got to three. Okay. What was the third? Who knows? I felt the thrill going up my leg.
I felt this thrill going up my leg.
So anyway, Biden also, he was talking about the recession of 2008, 2009, and who was president then? Listen to him.
Back in 2009, during the so-called Great Recession, the president asked me to be in charge of managing that piece, then President Trump. Excuse me, Freudian slip. That was the last president. He caused, anyway, that was President Obama when I was vice president.
You having a good time, Joe?
Freudian? I don't know. It was a slip, but we all make mistakes like that. That wasn't too egregious. But then he was talking to a truck driver, Joe Biden, and he dropped this whopper. Take a listen.
I used to drive an 18-wheeler, man.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish
I
could.
That's awesome.
I got to.
So he was fact-checked. He said, I used to drive an 18-wheeler. He never drove an 18-wheeler in his life. He never did. If he did, somebody would have died, if not himself. Just another lie from the imbecile in chief, among many others, harmless ones. But nevertheless, the 25th Amendment looms, even though Kamala would be the replacement. I heard Tucker Carlson kept referring to her last night as Willie Brown's girlfriend. I mean, now it's just all out war. What happened to the civility? You know, that's a good question. Nancy Pelosi actually called. She called Kevin McCarthy. This guy's the minority leader in the House. He leads the Republicans. And he was questioning her mask mandate in the House of Representatives. And she called him a moron. Now, Joe Biden swore that he was going to bring back civility to D.C. and the rest of the country. Everything would go back to the way it was because it was always civil. You know, people didn't hate each other before Donald Trump. I guess it was ratcheted up a little bit. But anyway, Joe Biden, remember when he promised this back in, January 20th on Inauguration Day?
But I'm not joking when I say this. If you're ever working with me and I hear you treat another colleague with disrespect, talk down to someone, I promise you I will fire you on the spot. On the spot.
On the spot.
No ifs, ands, or buts.
So there you go. We was going to take him down. So he was going to restore civility. And that's what we were promised during the campaign. A lot of people thought. Of course, now, people hate each other more now than ever. Speaking of Tucker Carlson, I'll get to it in a minute. You saw he was accosted over the weekend. We talked about it yesterday. Anyway, Andrew McCarthy, he shot back, Kevin McCarthy did, at Nancy Pelosi. Quote, if she's so brilliant, can she explain to me where the science in the building changes between the House and the Senate? In other words, the House has a mask mandate. The Senate does not. Republican controlled, of course, but the science doesn't back up. Again, cases up. But if you're vaccinated, according to Joe Biden, everybody else, you don't have to worry. The science backs up not wearing a mask. Anyway, Byron Donald, speaking of civility, again, he was not wearing a mask in the House. He describes it again, the civility that was supposed to be back. Listen to this.
He was going through one of the metal detectors, which, by the way, is still a dumb thing to have in front of the House floor. But that's another story for another day. He was going through the metal detectors, turned around, saw me, and was basically like, you're being selfish for not being vaccinated. That's why we're all having to wear a mask. Stop being selfish. And I looked at him like, mind your business. Why are you worried about what I'm doing? Worry about yourself. You've been vaccinated. Congratulations. Take care of yourself. Leave me alone. Mind your business. Why are you worried about what I am doing?
Yeah, exactly right. But again, the civility just is not there, is the bottom line. And then you had, speaking of, fabrications or misleading or misinformation. How about that? Misinformation, disinformation. None other than the host of Meet the Press, Chuck Todd. He said this about the liberal fake news.
Where we did get lost in this, and this sort of happened to mainstream media in particular, is that we did let Republican critics get in our heads. The Republicans have been running on There's a liberal bias in the media. We shouldn't have accepted the premise that there was liberal bias.
We shouldn't have accepted the premise that there was liberal bias in the media. That's pretty good. Lester Holt actually came out and said, where does it say we have to be fair and balanced or something like that? What did he say?
I think it's become clearer that fairness is overrated. The idea that we should always give two sides equal weight.
That's good enough. That's Lester Holt. That fairness is overrated. You give equal weight to both sides. We don't do that here at NBC. By the way, they both work for the same network. Anyway, also, speaking of that network, MSNBC, an old friend of mine. I was really close with this guy. So was Sid Rosenberg. Mike Barnicle, I was really, really tight with him back in the day during the Imus days. Imus actually saved him. I'll tell you about that in a minute. But he said this regarding the January 6th hearings. He said this yesterday, and he was talking about President Trump. This is Mike Barnicle.
We have a former president of the United States, a man who sat in the Oval Office, out there denying democracy each and every day, denying the legitimacy of a duly elected president of the United States, Joseph R. Biden.
You want voter?
The big lie has been told so many times, over and over and over again, that it has taken hold. We can't ignore that. It's out there, it's real, and it's potentially lethal.
All we want is an audit, bro. That's it. That's it. But either way, it's Mike Barnicle talking about the big lie. As I mentioned earlier, the Los Angeles Times, and I hate to do this to Mike Barnicle because we were tight, but the fact of the matter is, speaking of the big lie, this is from the Los Angeles Times. Boston Globe columnist Mike Barnicle, already under suspension for lifting material from a book, resigned under pressure Wednesday amid suspicions that he fabricated a 1995 tearjerker about two children hospitalized with cancer. Now, just like Lion Bryan, I would stay away from words like big lie and phrases like that. And you know, the pot calling the kettle black, it doesn't really work coming from a guy like Mike Barnicle at this point. And finally, speaking of civility, civility was supposed to be back. Joe Biden promised it, right? Tucker Carlson, he goes to a fly fishing store with his daughter over the weekend in Montana, and he gets accosted by some creep who works at the fly fishing store. I don't know if he owned it, he worked there, or he was a guide, or whatever the hell he was. But somebody came out in his defense, and he was fake news CNN Don Lemon.
I never thought I would be in this position to maybe somehow have to defend Tucker Carlson, but we'll see where this goes. I think that what Tucker says much of the time is completely reprehensible and divorced from reality. But he has a right to be in a space and not be accosted and not be ambushed by anyone.
Well, that's sort of a tepid defense. Reprehensible? It's his opinion. He's allowed to have an opinion. Your opinions are reprehensible and revolting and disgusting and wrong, by the way. The Russia collusion, Jussie Smollett, hands up, don't shoot, all those things. They were all
liar.
Wrong. Liar, Brett Kavanaugh, all of them wrong. The NASCAR news hoax, they were all wrong. And, well, either way, there's Don Lemon. So there's your civility, ladies and gentlemen, that Joe Biden promised. It's back. Listen, beat Bernie. Again, my colleague, Gabby Lopez, who is controlling the live stream at WABCRadio.com, beat Bernie at 940 1-800-848-9222. We're coming right back.
927 on your Thursday morning. Been an epic program. Laura Curran, Nassau County executive, was here earlier. Jesse Waters, Fox News star. Bill O'Reilly, Fox News and BillO'Reilly.com star. Later on tonight, here in the city, and I think somewhere close to here, there's going to be this huge fashion show. Now, this young lady who's in studio right now was in here one other time with Luke Pettigrew, the former great New York football giant. In fact, she was in right after Curtis Sliwa beat Fernando Mateo.
Right.
And we came to find after she was here that she actually worked on Mateo's campaign. But in real life, she's a model. I believe she's got her own agency. She works with models all over the world, from Milan to London to Paris to right here in New York City. Stefania's got a big show tonight. Now, how do you say your last name?
Brunettis.
Stefania Brunettis. And you can find her at Brunettis on Instagram.
Yes, correct.
And you posted a couple of cool stories the last 2 days about coming on with me and Bernard. So, big show tonight. Tell everybody where it is, what's it all about, and why guys like Matt Meany, a young, single, handsome man from Brooklyn, can meet some beautiful models tonight.
Yes. So tonight we are back, you know, after COVID. It's been crazy for fashion industry. And today we have our first show for Fashion TV in New York.
Is this the first one?
is the first one this year.
Because you've been doing everything by Zoom since COVID,
yes,
obviously.
Yes, everything has been virtual, which is so sad.
Sad.
Because you don't have anything, like, you can appreciate as much.
Terrible.
I know.
Terrible.
It's catastrophic.
Yeah. Are you organizing, or are you one of the models?
I organize. I'm a TV host and a journalist for Fashion TV in New York, and I also work for Milan. We are a worldwide company, so it's really nice to
Milan,
do this.
Milan is the hot spot, kind of like Cannes for the film festival.
Yes.
All you guys, like Joseph Aboud, who's a dear friend of both of ours. In fact, I'm wearing his shirt and his jacket right now. He can't get enough of France. Me, I've been there two or three times. I can't stand it. But you love it, right? You love France.
I love it. Next time you guys come with me.
No. Well,
Andres Aquino is going to be tonight in the show, so you guys should come tonight.
Milan is in Italy, right?
Milan's in Italy, yes.
Milan is in Italy, yes.
Right.
So Cannes is in France for the film festival.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
So it's Paris, London, Milan, and New York.
Wow.
Look at that.
The biggest.
Now, of all those places, and this is not an easy answer, of all those places, Stefania, what's your favorite?
My favorite, of course, New York.
New York.
New York is my favorite. I love this city.
Now, if you're in Milan, you're going to say the same thing, though, right?
I mean, I love Milan. I love parties and all that. But I just love it for like a couple of dates, and then I have to be back at home.
I hear you.
My beauty.
It's the capital of the universe.
Well,
right?
the proof is, Bernice, she could really live anywhere she wants, and you do live here in New York for almost two decades now. So
yes, almost. Yes, 15 years.
So
that's a lot.
You walk the walk. You don't talk the talk.
Yes,
I like that. Yes.
I love New York. That's why when I work for Mr. Matteo and now working for the next controller of New York, it's so amazing to, you know, bring something back into the city that gave me everything I have today.
Your friend is Debbie. How do you say his name?
His name is Davi Carreras.
Yes.
Davi Benjamin Carreras.
He's a good-looking guy, too. He wears a suit nicely.
Today he's working for me. I have him here recording, I can have some media.
Oh, nice.
But either way, you have to vote for this guy, Davi Carreras. He's running for controller of New York City. So Carreras for controller is what I'm saying.
So that
yes,
now that
please.
Election is in November. I thought what's his name was what's the guy's name that he was here actually? Not Corey Johnson. He lost.
Right.
What's the guy's name? Dan Lander or something, or Brad Lander?
Yeah, Brad Lander.
Who, by the way, is a far left radical. You got to vote for Carreras.
He's the Republican.
He's a Republican,
and he's the only one that works in finance because he's a finance guy.
Wow, right.
Which is the number one thing here.
Well, you're a Republican, too, because you surround yourself, Luke Pettigrew, the giant player Republican.
Yeah.
Your friend here is a Republican.
Yes.
You listen to me and Bernie every day. We're Republicans.
Yes.
So you are clearly a Republican.
I am a Republican.
So you're beautiful and brilliant.
Thank you. I am part of the Women's Club, the Republicans Women's Club in here.
Right, so you know Andrea Katsimatidis very well.
I know AJ very well.
AJ,
Sorry. Mrs.
No, AJ's fine.
Everybody knows her by that
actually,
name.
You invited me a couple of weeks ago. You were at some fancy lunch somewhere, and you said, come meet us.
Yes, I've been doing some events for the Mr. Controller to do the fundraising and to get the word outside, because our city needs that.
Absolutely.
Our city needs that. So everything I can do for New York, you know, I am there.
Are you optimistic about, we have a scare going on right now with this new variant out there, the threat of masks and lockdowns or whatever the hell. Are you optimistic or pessimistic?
I am very optimistic. I think you have to be like that. Everything is in your mind. What you think you become. So you have to just focus at work, focus on everything, and just take care of yourself, use the mask and everything that you need to do to stay out of trouble.
Good attitude.
Now even though you worked for alongside Fernando Mateo on his campaign.
Amazing guy.
Nice guy, but he got his ass kicked, which we're happy about, Curtis Sliwa.
Listen, stop. Don't talk about bad about my people in front of me, okay?
Hey, no, I like Fernando, but he got his ass kicked. I'm sorry. Mike Tyson got his ass kicked by Lennox Lewis also. I was there.
Dobby is her friend.
No, he's old man. Now Dobby's going to kick his ass, too.
But you don't know. Maybe he come back.
He ain't coming back. So the point is,
he's not coming back.
So here's my question.
Yes.
Will you, even though your friend lost... Did I tell you how badly you lost? Even though your friend lost.
Stop.
Will you vote for Curtis Sliwa?
Nope.
What?
Whoa.
You're a Republican. You're going to vote for Eric Adams?
No, but, you know, I don't know. Can I talk about this?
Yes. Yeah,
of course you can.
I don't know. The little hat is like, it looks for me like Che Guevara. So I don't know if, are we going there? Oh, or what are we doing? I don't know. I think as a fashion girl, I take care about the looks, you know? Yeah. You tell me how you look, and I already know how you are. So,
oh, really? Okay, good. Let's start right there, okay?
Oh, my gosh.
Take a look at Bernard. He's wearing a beautiful Henley sweater. He's got a great mad hat.
I'm not dressed nice.
What do you see when you look at him?
Well, today I am so happy. Maybe he knew I was coming because he looks amazing. Because I see him sometimes in the videos. Oh, beat Bernie. Right. I wanted to do that walk today, like beat Stefania. Watch out, I maybe come for you, for your listen, head.
Okay, so you think he looks amazing. You look at me, what do you see?
Oh, you are always sharp.
You're funny.
Yes.
You are funny.
Yeah. Look at you. You have your Lennon. What else is there? Hold on. I can't see your shoes.
My shoes are Converse, which match my white pants.
Oh, amazing.
I dress
look
like a
you.
Real gay guy, don't I?
You are like Hamptons. Very, very Hamptons.
That's what it looks like, Hamptons.
Yeah. Yes, very Hamptons.
All right, so
Hamptons
folks, Girl Talk New York, I love that hat. So for folks who want to come see you tonight and learn more about all of these events, because they are coming back now, and New York City is the perfect host, and you're the perfect host. You're great.
Thank you.
How do folks find out more about tonight's event and more events moving forward?
Yes, tonight we're going to be at the Flair Room. It's one of the launches in next to Cathedral. It's of the Tao family, so it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
Oh, that's right. Tao owns it. That's
yes,
right.
It's yes, it's a beautiful, beautiful rooftop. Yep. And we're going to do the show in there. We're presenting a designer today. And it's also the launch of the magazine. It's a magazine.
Oh, wow.
Yes. The Gimaro magazine and Finn's magazine.
Are these just women or men and women?
It's men and women.
You're going to get Bernie down the runway tonight or what?
Please. Please do.
Okay.
And I promise you, for the next shows, you're going to be the host.
I'm the host?
So, yes.
Yeah, now you're talking. All right.
I gotta get,
go. Of course.
I got to dust my toupee off for tonight. That'll be fun.
Listen.
And by the way, Carreras for Controller. Don't forget that, ladies.
You got our vote, bro.
Carreras
we got
for Controller.
You. Yeah. It's nice to meet you, too, and we wish you the best of luck. Any other thing you want to promote? Your Instagram? Anything else?
Yes. I'm having my perfume coming up in September.
Your own perfume?
My own perfume. Jeez. I brought it. Do you want to smell it?
Yeah, absolutely. Spray it on Bernie.
Wait.
I got to take the train. Someone will kick my ass. Spray it on Bernie.
Smell it.
All right, here we go.
Please smell that, Bernie. Her own perfume.
Oh, my God.
Is it nice?
It's more than nice. It's
it calls Freedom by Brunetti's, and it's going to be on September 28th at the Plaza Hotel, presented by Sephora.
Oh, the Plaza Hotel is my favorite.
I lit
the largest menorah in the world alongside John Catsimatidis outside that hotel last winter. Well, congratulations to you.
Thank
look
you
great.
So much.
Good luck with your event tonight.
Thank you.
Anytime you want to promote any of these events, we love models. We love the fashion industry. Joel Booth, a dear friend of both of ours. We love Republicans. And we love you too, running for controller. You're welcome to come here anytime, okay?
Thank you so much. And I also want to invite, if anyone want to be a model, we have a school, New York Fashion TV School. They can come, graduate with us. We teach them everything about how to be a model, how to present, how to speak in the mic, how to body control and all these things. So
how would an aspiring model contact you? How would they
do that? Of course.
How would they just go to your Instagram page?
Just go to my Instagram page, or you can visit our website, www.brunettis.com. Dimitri Manuel is my partner, and he's the CEO of the company. So we've been working in this. He bring fashion TV from Europe into New York. Mm-hmm. And right now we are being here for like 7 years already.
Wow. Sounds very successful. Sounds very exciting, as a matter of fact. We will send you regards to Curtis Lee, by the way.
Please. I would love to meet him and sit with him. And maybe if he tell me everything that he's doing, I don't know.
He could persuade you, perhaps. Well, listen, thank you, Stefania. Yeah, you're great.
Excellent job, Stefania Brunettis. You can find her at Brunettis on Instagram. Great job.
Now, it's time to beat Bernie.
It's time to beat Bernie.
Sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters.
You think you can beat Bernie?
Good luck.
It's time to beat Bernie.
All right, time to beat Bernie. Of course, all week long, he's been taking on the employees here at Red Apple Media. Today's the first day since Frank Morano. We don't have an attorney in studio. Bernie's won every day by a final score of 4-3 the last 3 days. So we couldn't beat him with one person. We decided let's use two today. Two brains are better than one, especially these two young ladies who are both brilliant and great at what they do. One, of course, is Jennifer Grodd, who is marketing executive producer extraordinaire. Jennifer, how are you?
I'm doing great. Yeah? I'm excited.
Are you excited?
I am. I'm nervous, but...
They're not the first time I've been on radio before, though.
No, not the first time.
Not as nervous as I am.
Are you nervous, Gabby?
Are you kidding me, Sam?
Why?
Bernie's so smart.
He's not that smart.
I will try my best.
Just trust me. He's not that smart. He's not. It's overrated. I've got to be honest with you. He got one thing right since we worked together in 6 years. Trump in 2000. Otherwise, he's been wrong about everything since. I mean, everything. But on a serious note, he is very smart at this game. And it's going to be tough. But are you nervous to lose? Or you're not nervous to be on the radio?
No.
Nothing makes you nervous.
Very few things.
Your father, Chad, is the same way. Nothing makes him nervous, so...
Well, he makes me nervous.
He makes you nervous, sure.
Other than that.
Yeah. He used to make me nervous. But now I think it's the other way around. Now I think I make him nervous.
Oh,
you have a song or something today? What was the... at the end we're going
to
do it.
I wrote words to the jingle.
Yeah, you like the jingle.
I do. I love the jingle. Yeah, you'll hear me singing it around the office.
Yeah, that's weird. That's weird. I got to do it. All right. Well, let's play today's game. Who's going to go first? Jen's
going
to go first. That means, by the way, that means, Gabby, that she gets to answer 3 out of 5. Are you saying she's smarter?
Probably.
Okay, probably.
Can I use
so.
Her as
okay,
a
there you go. Now, who's manning the TV show?
Christian
Conte.
Yes.
Okay, you do a great job at that every morning.
Oh, thank you.
And you do a great job booking guests. I did send you a guest yesterday.
Yeah, one of them said she's too busy. I'm working on the other.
Who's
one.
Who's the other one? Who's that?
You said Kerry Struggs.
She said she's too busy.
Yeah, she said she's too busy.
Bitch. Please. What about Shannon Miller?
I'm waiting to hear back.
All right, too busy. Doing what? Watching herself on 90210 from 15 years ago? Here's number one, Jen. Declining the CBS Studios offer of a makeup artist is often said to be a factor in the poor performance in a September 26th, 1960 debate by what presidential candidate?
Oh, God.
1960, come on.
I'm trying to think.
I'm not
come
a
on,
crook.
Jen, you got it.
I'm not a crook.
Reagan?
Wrong, you two-legged back of
that. FDR?
This is not going to go well.
Nixon. Oh,
Richard Nixon, very good. All right, here's number two. They got more in common out there, too. We should have made this a threesome, a real mentor meeting. Here's number two. What state is bordered by the states Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and New York? Gabby, I'll give you a hint. Bernie Sanders.
Is it Vermont?
Yes!
Oh, yeah!
Good.
Look how happy Gabby is.
You should have given her 3 questions and me too.
$1 million to the charity of your choice for each one you get correct. There you go. Here's number three. Jen, legend has it that Abraham Lincoln said to Harriet Beecher Stowe, "So you're the woman who wrote the book that started the Great War." What book was he referring to? I'll give you a hint. When a black person agrees with a white person, sometimes black people refer to him as an... Not aunt, but...
Uncle.
Let's go.
Uncle Ben.
She loves the wild rice. She loves the wild rice. Big fan. Uncle Tom's Cabin was the book. Okay. Yeah. Number four. No wonder you were nervous. For the majority of its length in New York State, Interstate 90, Gabby, runs parallel to the original route of what waterway? Give me a break. Matt's got a better chance of banging brunettes tonight than
I-90?
Yeah.
I-90 is the one that goes all the way to Massachusetts? Is that that one?
Go with that.
Okay.
What are we looking for? I'll give you a hint. It's a canal. Now give me one of the canals. Come on.
I don't know any of the canals. The Hudson River. It's a river, but it's not a canal. I don't know.
They actually make decisions in this place. You know,
I know.
Right?
That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to make this easier.
The Erie Canal, sweetheart. Finally, Jen, to visit the Statue of Liberty, hop on a ferry at what New York City park named for the line of cannons that once defended? I'll give you another hint. Your hint is... Give me one of those companies that makes...
Well, Jen should know this. She's a resident of New York City.
Right. I used to live in this place. Jeez.
Hudson?
No.
No, come on. They make
Energizer Bunny.
Energizer. Make them an A's, B's, C's, double A's,
triple
A's.
Triple A's, Energizer double. Bunny.
Double A's, triple A's, D.
They're batteries.
Yes.
Battery parts.
Oh!
Yes! I'm not good at trivia.
Teamwork makes the dream work. See that?
Is that what it was?
Yeah, that's what's happening.
All right, here comes Bernie. You guys got two right.
Oh, God.
They were- I have to say this, knowing that I love both of you. You're both great at what you do, and God, we need you in this place. It was the worst performance I've ever hosted.
I know. I'm a little mad at
worst.
Myself.
But you're both cute, so it doesn't matter, and you're smart. And here comes Bernie in his UFC.
Oh,
and he hit his head. By the way, you can smash chance. You can smash your head three more times, you're still going to win.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They got two right. It was brutal. But it was funny. It was great radio. So here we go. Number one.
Let's go.
Declining the CBS Studios offer of a makeup artist is often said to be a factor in the poor performance on September 26th of 1960 in the debate by what presidential candidate? 1960.
You know, the first half of the question, I didn't even understand.
Doesn't matter.
You talk so fast.
Right, doesn't matter.
But it was Nixon candidate.
Right, there
of
you
course.
Go. Right. So which one am I looking? But which one had the poor performance?
Oh, it was Richard Nixon.
There you go.
Yeah, he had a 5 o'clock shadow. He won on
Correct.
The radio. He won on the radio, people thought.
Lost on TV.
Lost on TV by the looks.
Right.
Sweating, a 5 o'clock shadow, blah,
right.
blah, blah.
Kind of like you right now.
And Kennedy looked like, am I sweating?
No, oh, but you have a 5 o'clock shadow. Yeah.
Well, this. Listen here, you should have shaved before you came in and debated me because I kick your ass.
Number two, what state is bordered by the states Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and New York? And Gabby got this one correct.
Massachusetts, New Hampshire,
yeah.
and New York. That would be Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and New York. That would have to be Vermont.
Yes. Now, if you got one more, the next three, you win today's game. Legend has it that Abraham Lincoln said to Harriet Beecher Stowe, quote, "So you're the woman who wrote the book that started the Great War. What book was he referring to?"
It was Gone with the Wind would be the wrong answer.
Right.
Uncle Tom's Cabin.
Very good. So you've already won. Let's even go perfect today. For the majority of its length in New York State, I-90 runs parallel to the original route of what waterway?
That would have to be...
It's a canal.
Yeah, it's the Erie Canal.
Very good.
Yeah.
And to go 5 for 5, to visit the Statue of Liberty, hop on a ferry at what New York City park, named for the line of cannons that once defended it?
Central Park would be the wrong answer.
Right.
It's Battery Park.
There you go. All right, 5-2, the final score. Bernie wins today.
Unbelievable.
Anything you want to say to Bernard, ladies?
Why is it unbelievable, Jen?
They were pretty easy. I'm just mad at myself.
No,
I don't like losing.
No. Listen, let's be honest.
Wait a second. I thought Gabby was playing.
They both played.
I thought she was,
they
too.
Both
That's
played.
Why I didn't study up.
They played together.
I see.
Yeah,
I see.
It didn't help. We have
I
a song?
I definitely need the help.
We have a song.
Yeah,
okay?
Let's hear the song.
Here's the Beat Bernie song. I'm a little nervous. Do we still want to keep that in the background?
Yep, keep it
all
going.
Right.
Oh, okay. You want me to take it down?
I don't know.
Now it's all you.
Okay.
All you
guys. Because it's a different tune.
Yeah, lower it a little bit, Matt. Please.
It's the Time to Beat Bernie tune.
Okay, let's go.
Okay. It's time to beat Bernie. It's time to beat Bernie. Bernie reads a lot of books. You could probably tell by his looks. Bernie wins most of the time. And ladies and gentlemen, that's not a crime. It's time to beat Bernie. It's time to beat Bernie. Bernie likes to read history. He's not a fan of mysteries. Bernie reads a lot of books, so he won't end up like the crooks. Bernie reads morning, noon, and night. Try to beat Bernie, he won't back down without a fight. How did Bernie get so smart? Listen to Bernie and Sid every morning to do your part.
That was very good, actually.
Yes.
That was actually really good.
That was actually
nice. Yeah.
Such an improvement from the meeting song. Like, that was
amazing. I know, really, you're right about that. That was also a major improvement from the job you did on the game today. Hold on a story.
You salvaged the
yes, you did.
With that
yes,
song.
You did. Hey, you guys are both great, Gabby and Jen. We love you both, and we love working with both of you guys. And thank you. You're adorable. Fun. Today was fun. Thank
all
you.
Right.
Yeah.
We love you, too.
You did a good job.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, folks. We got a little more to do before we wrap up this Thursday edition. That was good stuff with Bernie and Sid. We'll be right back.
Beat Bernie. Sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters on 77 WABC.